Reindeer paws, out jumps good old Santa Claus, down through the chimney with lots of toys, all for the little ones' Christmas joys. Oh, who wouldn't go? Who wouldn't go? Up on the housetop, click, 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 down through the chimney with good Saint Nick.
First up on the housetop, what do you see? Is that Santa or Joe Pesci? No, it's a good friend, Dave Z. Too much everyone's disbelief. Yo, 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 heads explode. Yo, 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 please tell me so. We're all jolly like Brandon Orlick, or down in the woods like Black Phillip. Dave Z, welcome to Cut to the Chase, our good friend.
Welcome back, wow. Dave.
Wow, thank you. So happy to be here. Dan, you did not fuck up that song at all. It was awesome.
Right? Yeah. That was my only one taker.
Yeah, that was
yeah, a one take fucker. Absolutely.
A one take fucker.
Take that.
It was really good. I'm impressed, baby.
Thanks, baby.
Yeah, really. I could never do that. There's no way. That's great. And you know what? What a year. This is 2020 and it's the holiday season and it's coming to an end. And it's been a crazy year for all of us for more reasons than one. But I'm so happy that all the paths we've taken this year and everything that's happened, that the three of us are here right now doing this show. I'm thrilled, honestly.
Just in time for Christmas,
my friend.
I would say
that repairing our friendship is kind of like a Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we actually repaired it right around Halloween, but it was a Halloween miracle.
Same thing.
But to have him on this, to be able to have him on the show, is a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, man. No, and hey, listen, honest with you, I've been looking forward to the show because it's Dave Z. You know he's gonna come. You know he's gonna bring it. And especially for these movies that we're about to cover, I cannot wait to hear Dave Z's thoughts on some of them.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, actually, no, on all of them.
It's going to be interesting. Have you covered these on, you've covered two on Exploding Heads, right?
I have never done a review, a straight up review of any of these movies.
Oh,
baby.
So, is this, and I know Black Christmas is actually one of your favorites.
To a degree, but the thing is, if you talk to like Brandon and Christian, there was arguments, not arguments, but there was some serious conversations around the time of the top 50 slasher show because Black Christmas 74 was like only like my number 20, but for them it was in their top five. And I explained my problems with it, even though I loved it. You know, it's still number 20 of all time slashers, but I was like, well, I don't love it as much as you two because of this, this, and this. And it became a little thing. And I was like, I think it's great. I just don't think it's the masterpiece that some people think it is. And I gave my reasons. But either way, I've never reviewed, but I've discussed them a lot. Well, not them. I've discussed that one a lot. Yeah.
Well, it has been a little bit since you've been back with us. So, you know, for listeners, yes, we are all reunited and it feels so good. So we have a little segment here called Let's Break the Ice. And, you know, Dan was out shoveling. Like, it was our first snowfall this year. And Dan was out shoveling.
I ripped my fucking pants.
He literally fell on the ice earlier. So.
And, like, and it's not even that, like, it wasn't painful or whatever. But what hurt was my pride. Because I looked around. And I didn't know if anybody actually saw
like
me.
Noon.
So you just give that awkward look. Like, yeah. And I just kept shoveling.
And then I come outside to let our dog out. And I was like, did you rip your pants? And he's like, thanks for pointing that out.
You're welcome. No.
I didn't know that he had fell, though.
You didn't know. So you told her, huh? What a guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no.
We don't keep secrets in the household.
It's like Richard Dreyfuss and the deer in Stand By Me. I never told anybody about that.
The first time I've mentioned it to anyone. Yeah. That's amazing. But check this.
Yeah, my fucking pants.
My stepfather is a real Mr. Fix-It guy. He does everything around the house. He's a retired fire chief. He is a handyman in every sense of the word and a hunter and all that. He's real hands-on. Nothing like me. I mean, I'm nothing like that. I wish I were, but my father was not and neither am I. But anyway, my stepfather was snowblowing 2 years ago outside, and he made a mistake, and it cost him. And it, because it happened to him, it could happen to anybody. Something happened when he was snow blowing, and he put his fingers where they shouldn't have been at the right time. He fucking chopped two fingers off.
Oh!
Did he get them sewed back on?
Yes, he did. But, I mean, you talk about embarrassing. You think your pants and that. I mean, this motherfucker who has a reputation for being a guy that would never make a foolish mistake like that cut his fucking fingers off, man.
But do the fingers move now?
I think so. I haven't really questioned him too much about him, but they seem like it.
Did he say, your mother was a snowblower?
He had walked into the house after shoveling and said that.
You're welcome, short circuit. All right, let's break the ice, baby.
Well, all right, so you did just, you know, kind of answer the question, but let's keep it more specific to you this time, Dave C.
Uh-oh.
The question I got for you is, what is your most memorable moment with snow? It can be, you know, were you trapped in a snowstorm? You could have built a fucking snow fortress. Whatever.
Wow. Snow, huh? Let me think about that. I'm so bad about memories. Let's see here. I'll tell you what. It was the worst time, and, you know, I'm from Buffalo, so I see my share of snow. I've driven in it all my life. I've been around it. I've played in it. I've done everything with snow. But I guess I can think of the one time I was driving from Las Vegas to Michigan, because I moved to Michigan for a short time one of the times I made a dumb mistake. my father came down, he flew down, and he didn't want me to drive to Michigan by myself. Now, I didn't care, but my father still treats me like a child, maybe because I still act like one, but whatever. So he decided he was going to drive with me. So we drove through Colorado, and we were in, like, in Vail, you know, in ski country and all that.
Yep.
And the snow came in. And being from Buffalo, I should be able to say that I could drive through any snow and I have history with it and whatever. Right. Who cares about snow? But I'm telling you, I will never forget. You hear people say zero visibility and being afraid and everything else. I've had things like that happen in Buffalo, and I also have driven, you know, like for jobs many times. Yep. But being in this snow, I'll never forget how afraid I was, because my foot was on the gas, but it felt like the Twilight Zone or something, or I was in hell because I was driving, but I really felt like the car wasn't moving because it's like being in a snow globe. So I was like, and I'm surprised my dad wasn't panicking more than he was, because he will bug out about things. And the last 20 years, now that he's older, he's more panicky than he used to be. So I was just trying to remain cool. But I remember just driving and, like, saying, I could seriously just freaking drive into a car that's ahead of me right now and not even see it. It's rear-end somebody. But I wanted to play it cool because my father was there and everything else. But I'll never forget how scared I was and how surreal it felt. Like, I felt like I was in a snow globe, like the end of Krampus or some shit, you know?
I was about to say, are you sure
what
you're
do you
not
mean,
living
spoiler? Right on. And I agree with Dave. It's some sketchy shit, man. I plowed for the town for years, and some of it is just you can't see anything. Like, it's literally insane, and you're like, I could die at any second. It's that type of feeling.
Just imagine people that move from, you know, warm weather states where they live, like my wife, for example, who only 40 years only lived in California and Vegas and Florida, and then moves here and has to drive in the snow.
I'm like,
when I was coming back from, like, so when I drove to Massachusetts, like, I drove in, like, September, and so, like, obviously, like, that's kind of, like, prime time to go, you know, like, it's turning into fall-ish, so, like, it's good weather.
New England in the fall time.
And then I left on December 4th, I believe. And it was, like, in the middle, like, all of a sudden it turned into a fucking blizzard. It's a 21-hour drive from here to where Dan lived in Cape Cod. So, and halfway back, I, like, got to Ohio. Fucking Ohio. And it fucking blizzard. And I could not, I was almost to my destination, because I broke it up into 2 day drives, like 10 hours each day, pretty much, or 10 and a half hours each day.
Right.
That's a lot of driving in one day. Mm-hmm. And it was like literally a snow blizzard and I was freaking out, but Dan like was on the phone with me like the entire time, which honestly that made it easier. I know like people, like I had him on speakerphone or whatever. So it was, you know, not like a distraction like most people say, like he's keeping me calm, like focus eyes on the road or whatever, but it was really, really scary. And I was like, shit, I really hope it's not like this tomorrow. Cause I was like an hour out from my hotel that I had booked, you know, in Ohio. And the creepy part, though, coming out of that was the next morning, like, I went out to start my car because, you know, it was frosted over really bad. And somebody had opened, like, and I went back into the hotel to get my dog. And I come back out and all my car doors are open with my trunk open. Like, nothing was taken. But it was a really creepy moment.
Yeah, I would say so.
Wow. What the hell happened? Why were they open?
Well, I think maybe they were looking for something, and obviously, like, all I had was, like, clothes. I didn't have anything valuable and, like, dog food. So,
man, that was that's scary.
Yeah, I was like, well, at least I know nobody's in my car. So I just kept making sure that nobody was following me on the way back, but yeah.
You listened to Brad Dorff's advice and checked the backseat.
Well, the doors were open. I kind of had
to. You check under the car?
No, oh, I didn't. Yeah. I mean, this was 2 years ago, so they still might be under there.
Come on, babe, you got to be safe.
Yeah, that was literally 2 years ago. That's crazy. All right, next question, Dave Z. All right, I'm sure you get asked this a lot. How many times have you been compared to Joe Pesci's Harry from Home Alone?
I don't know about a particular character. I get the Pesci thing all the time, you know, but I never necessarily hear. Usually when people bring up
Goodfellas.
Yeah, they always go to the classic Goodfellas shit. You know what I mean? And how funny and all that other shit and yada yada that we all know. I did do that one thing on Banana Laser. We did the skit and I remember that.
Yes.
Wazell said, he's like, we got to do this. You're Pesci and this is something and we're going to be the Banana Bandits. And I'm like, all right, let's do it, man. You know, so.
Exactly. Oh, dude, that was a classic skit.
You know, it's funny. I don't think like we had talked that much at this time. Like we were like Facebook friends, but they did on 22 Shots, they did a 24-hour when Joe Bob did the live stream for 24 hours, the marathon. I came on and like kept the guys company like middle of the day.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking or whatever. And then one of the comments popped up and they were like, are we sure she's not related to Dave Z? She sounds like fucking Joe Pesci.
Like, yeah, you're right. Somebody did say that.
Yeah,
you sound like Joe Pesci. How?
Apparently. I don't know.
Night, apparently.
I don't know who said it either.
Were you swearing a lot? Was it what you were, yes, maybe you I, were I saying prob- motherfuck a lot.
I was like, motherfuck, probably.
Yeah. I just remember Jeremy on that show. Shut up, Joe Bob's on.
And like he was like in the back corner. Like, no, this is when Jeremy's afraid of me, and now we're going to record for the first time next month. Well, we were supposed to record in October, and then we were supposed to record this month, and then...
We were supposed to meet him in Chicago. He never showed.
True. So, I'm not convinced Jeremy actually exists until I, like, personally talk to him, like, one-on-one.
I have seen him in his car eating tacos.
I've seen him in his car eating a lot.
Exactly.
And calling me bitch.
That does
he calls
happen.
Me bitch a lot.
That does happen a lot.
Like, if Jeremy was in 2019's Black Christmas, he would be fucking dead.
Like, anybody else would say that, and they'd be dead, but it's Jeremy, and you just can't help but laugh at that.
No, he reminds me of that little kid from The Simpsons. What's the kid's name? The little dorky one with glasses?
Milhouse?
Yes! He reminds me of Milhouse.
I was going to say Ralph, but yeah.
No, he looks like Milhouse. Like, I always think that when I look at Jeremy, like, when we're watching this video. All right, let's get back to topic here, guys. All right, Dave Z, what is the best Christmas party you have ever attended and why?
Whew, Christmas party, huh?
Well, we got to keep it Christmas themed up in here.
Have you ever been to a Christmas party?
Well, I got to think about this. Let's see. In adult life, have there been Christmas parties I've gone to? Maybe work-related things.
Like Never an Ugly Sweater party?
It could be a child memory as well.
Yeah.
Well, everything best, the answer is always going to be childhood because it's true.
That Christmas Dave Z drank the eggnog.
Just everything. Anytime anyone asks me a question about what's the best something that's ever happened, or your that's ever happened in your life, or every memory.
All right, I'll make it easier for you. I'll make it easier. Dave Z, name a color.
Blue. So I'm looking right at a Blu-ray of the thing, and there it is.
Hey, I just watched the thing the first time this year.
Oh, that's right. And I know you loved it, right?
I did. I really did.
Kurt Russell's step is in one of these.
I also watched the remake of The Fly for the first time this year, around the same time, and I give The Fly the edge for my enjoyment, but they're both 5 out of 5.
You have to watch The Blob, because that's the big three of the remakes, The Thing, The Fly, and The Blob. They're pretty much considered the best, you know, remakes.
Well, I will put that on my Halloween watch list for next year.
Yes, get on it. But let me, I'll answer a question about that. Okay, when I was a kid, of course, I always used to make movies. Always. Summertime. Oh, I pretend that I was a newscaster. I was always about entertaining people from a very, very young.
You were a newscaster?
Yes, we would do the news. So I would come on. Hello, this is David Buxton III, and this is the news. Spider-Man was killed today, and we did the shit anyway. We killed everybody. We had news and news and news, and I wrote everything. I directed, produced. I had my cousins and my friends do shit. I was a fucking young movie maker to the extreme. It was like out of control. Now, I decided one year, okay, I'm going to write my version of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. So I was probably like 12 years old. So every Christmas Eve, we would go to my Aunt Mary's house. Then all my cousins would go, of course. So I wrote this whole thing out, and we did this big performance. And I mean, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, that's no short thing, especially when you're acting it out. So I mean, it was like
that's no small feat.
No, dude, we did it all. And I had to write every joke, every freaking thing, and tell everybody what to do. And they followed. And it was a big hit. And people still talk about it to this day. So I guess that's my shining moment. Christmas Eve, 1984 or some shit, you know?
Holy shit, I wasn't even born yet.
Yeah,
I
would do
it.
See?
You were doing big things back then.
I was much better back then than now. I mean, I was... My creative juices were flowing, you know?
When I put this show out, I'm going to say special guest David Buxton III.
Holy shit. Yep. You know where I got that from, too? Buxton? It was from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, because that
yes!
kid...
Here, would you care for some gum? Would you care for some, Mr. Buxton?
Oh.
Spearmint or fruit?
Fruit, please.
Yeah, I wanted to say, my gimmick was that I was trying to come up like some rich guy. I don't know why. I was like trying to be like a hoity-toity character, and I just made it up with it. I said, on the fly, this is David Buxton III, and that was
you
my gimmick.
We talked about Pee-wee's Big Adventure on the last episode with...
Well, Mr. Venom, because it's Tim Burton.
Yes, when we were doing Edward Scissorhands, yeah, we were talking about Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Do you know... I have never seen Edward Scissorhands beginning.
Oh, dude, neither had I before this. Dude, you got to do it.
It never interested me. I don't know why. I love Tim Burton, all his early shit. But I'll go a step further. I've never seen Batman Returns. I've only seen the first Batman and loved it so much that I didn't want to see Batman Returns, mostly because, to me, even as a kid, the first Batman was all about Nicholson. And I was like, well, there's no Joker. I don't care now. I was always about the bad guy.
I like that he's not necessarily like a completist.
Yeah, he don't give a fuck. He's like...
He likes what he likes.
But in that
instance...
He doesn't
want to ruin things.
But
I don't even own Scream 3 on Blu-ray. I have one, two...
Yes! That's what I'm fucking talking about, bro.
I like being bold and saying, I want someone to look at my collection and say, hey, I see that you have this, and I don't have Final Destination 4. I'm like, how come this one's not here? Because it fucking sucks. I'm not just going to buy a movie that sucks and I don't want to watch it.
And in that instance, Dave, you're absolutely correct. And in the Batman Returns instance, you're absolutely correct as well. And that's the great thing, too. It's like you're bold enough to go through with it. But I feel like in that case, it pays off. Same with Final Destination 4. There's no reason you have to see that movie. Like Bubba from Forrest Gump gets killed in it. Like, that's about it.
That's so Bubba? Awesome.
Yeah, Bubba's in it. Bubba, you just look right back as me. Yep.
Wow, I didn't know that was Bubba. I'm shocked right now.
I know, yeah. Dude. Yeah, Bubba's in that movie. You're welcome, America.
Which we're going to cover that franchise at some point.
Yes, and actually, Final Destination will come back in a big bad way about midway through the show. Stay tuned, everybody.
Yes. Now, next question, so Dave Z. Have you ever participated in, like, a Secret Santa? And if so, do you have, like, any fun stories about it?
Secret Santa. Well, all the time when I was a kid. All the time, because we... Oh, wait, hold on. Was that Secret Santa? No, that was just called Santa's Secret Shop. That was something that we did. Do you guys know what that is? Santa's Secret Shop? Okay.
Tell that story.
Okay. Well, when we were kids, here's what they would do. They would send... It basically allowed children to buy presents for the adults in their lives. So if I wanted to buy some for my parents or my grandparents or what have you, I was able to do that. And the way we did it was the school would basically have a catalog. And they'd say, these are the things that are available in this shop. Remember, did you guys used to have those things like when, like the book club, like every couple of months?
Yep. Absolutely.
It was
absolutely.
Scholastic Book Fair.
Fuck yeah.
Like that. Remember you go to that room and they'd have all the books in it and shit? Okay.
Yep.
That's what this was like, except it was presents. So they would send a catalog home and a thing, and they would ask your parents, okay, how much money do you want him to spend at Santa's Secret Shop? And they would say, okay, $20. And then they write a check for $20. They go, the day you go to the Santa's Secret Shop, wherever it would be in the school, okay, Dave, you have $20 to spend. Okay, I'm going to spend three on Grandma, three on Grandpa, you know, whatever the fuck it is. And that was Santa's Secret Shop. So the parents wouldn't know what they were getting. So being a little child, you could actually buy presents and give them to them. And they wouldn't even know, you know, I mean, what it was. So... that was fun.
She's like, I gave you $20. All you gave me is a slap-on bracelet.
The best part of all is this. I got my grandma this thing. It was this round thing, kind of like an ashtray, but with no holes. It was for gum. It was like a place where you put gum. And my grandma had dentures, so she couldn't even chew gum. Got him for it was like, oh, I think grandma will like this, you know.
She'll love it. She'll use it every day.
That's the kind of shit I got people. Santa.
That was better than any story that could have exceeded expectations for you to tell, Dave.
Yeah, we had a question, but it was so much better.
It really was. And now we've come to the portion. I know you love these, Dave, so I had to bring it back. And, you know, there's a lot of hot chicks in 2006 Black Xmas.
There is.
Amen.
So I have a fuck, marry, kill for you.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Are you ready?
Hopefully I know which one is which. Are you going to give character names or actress names?
I'm going to give you the character's name.
You'll know them.
Probably won't know, but go for it.
All right. We got Mrs. Mac, we have Agnes, and we have Billy's mother.
Son of a bitch.
Mary Kill, go.
We're dicks.
That's awesome. What a swerve. That's fucking great.
He's like, oh, I can't wait to fuck Katie Cassidy. Oh, shit.
Right?
He goes, right?
Okay, Mrs. Mac, Agnes... and
Billy's mother.
Okay, well, let's see here. The problem is, when I do these MFKs, I put thoughts into them. It's a fucking big joke on Exploding Heads because those guys just go boom, 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 and answer. And I always ponder it and I give the reasons why. It's more fun that way. So I think that the most attractive one would have to be Billy's mother, but I don't want to marry her because I see how fucking crazy she is. Although she does have she is insatiable sexually. So she always wants to fuck. So maybe I change it. Maybe I will. Okay, I'm going to marry Billy.
At the top of the stairs.
Yeah, the top of the stairs.
Her son.
Well, yeah. But she's a horny little devil. So I guess, I'm going to marry Billy's mother, believe it or not. It's whack. They're all pretty wacky. Well, Mrs. Mack isn't wacky.
Hey, maybe she'll give you a telescope.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Which that made no sense in the movie, but we'll get to that. Okay. Right. I'll fuck Billy's mom. I'll marry what's her name? Mrs. Mack, because she's kind of cool, you know.
Right.
And yeah, you got to kill Agnes. Who wants that fucking wackadoo around?
Well, it's also a
dude. One of the most fucking creepiest dudes ever, and yes, that is a dude.
It seemed like a dude, huh?
Well, it's funny. So they do a whole feature on this guy in the behind the scenes, which I watched back in the day, which I remember, and I watched that like probably 10, 15 years ago, and I still remember it. But we'll get to that when we get to it.
Well, I feel kind of bad for giving him those, so I'll give you one more with the actual hot chicks, because we know that the guy...
Oh, you're going to give him a real one?
Yeah, I'll give him a real
one. Wow.
Can I play?
No.
I want to play.
We got Katie Cassidy. We got Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Oh.
And we got Michelle Trachtenberg.
Oh, that's tough.
It is, if I'm thinking just of the context of this movie, Black Christmas, and that time period, oh, man, it's so tough. Because if you're walking through life, it just seems that, what's her name, Mary Elizabeth is the one you marry.
I'll even let you interchange one, if you'd like, with Lacey Chabert.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to take what's-her-name completely out of the equation then, because she's the marrying type, but I'm not as attracted to her as I am the other three. So I'm going to take her right out of the equation. Well, then I'm going to kill one, so what good is that? I don't want to kill her. She's so nice, I don't want to kill her. So I'm taking her out. Okay, I do now. Mary Elizabeth Winstead has to be completely out of the picture because...
Oh, that wasn't where I thought you were going at all with that.
I don't want to kill her because she's such an awesome person. She's so cute and her personality's great. She just seems like the marrying type. But I don't want to marry
her. So you're replacing her with Lacey Chabert.
She was number one. Now she's completely fucking out.
Yeah, because I don't want to marry her because I want to marry the other ones more just because I'm more attracted to them. So I'm being real petty about it, but I'm going to remove her. And I don't want to kill her. So I'm going to have to kill someone that I'm, you know, one of the other ones. But honestly, man, believe it or not, I think that Trachtenberg is actually the most attractive one in the movie. So, and I didn't used to think that way, but this time I did.
Wow, so, that's a shocker.
Really
I know.
Is.
I just really think she's very, very pretty.
Okay.
In this particular movie. So I'm going to marry her just because I want to... Had the most sex with her the most amount of times. So then, Katie Cassidy.
Well, see, no, I love how Dave broke down that little loophole. Because he's right. If you do marry someone, you get to fuck them all
not
the time.
Not necessarily.
What do you mean?
I was married.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah. You know. But I love how Dave just went right into that.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
never
I
actually,
the
like.
Most amount of times.
Yeah, like, because I think about that point all the time. And Dave Z's the first person to actually vocalize it. He's like, yeah, but if you marry him, you get to fuck. Like, that just makes sense.
If someone is that ridiculously hot to you, you want to do it as many times as you can. You don't just want to do it once to say you did it. You want to do it as many times as you like.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm going to marry her because I want to have a ton of sex with her. As long as we stay circa 2006. That's awesome.
Circa 2006.
Yeah. Katie Cassidy. God, they're both so beautiful, the two of them. You know what? I think that Lacey is probably better in bed. I just have a feeling that she's whacked out in real life.
Excuse me, Dave. What'd you just say?
Lacey Chabert.
Yes. Lacey Chabert. And I have an expression that, you know, the crazier in the head, the better in bed. I'm always attracted to crazy females. Always have been.
Billy's mom. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought about too.
Right.
So, I can't believe I'm gonna say this. Yeah. But if I can only do it one time with the two of them, I'm going to have to do it with Lacey and kill the gorgeous Katie Cassidy.
Oh, my God. What the fuck?
How I expected it to go. I thought for sure Michelle Trachtenberg would have been gonzo.
I think she's gorgeous in this movie. I think they all are.
Yeah, like, well, this is a Weinstein movie, but we'll get to that later, too.
Well, that concludes Let's Break the Ice.
Woo! I think it's broken, shattered into a million pieces.
Yes.
You guys ever play that game?
The final girl.
Yeah, we did kill her, and she's so amazing. Did you guys ever play that game, Don't Break the Ice?
Yes, back in the day, absolutely.
Yeah.
That was a fucking OG.
With the little,
yep,
with the little
cubes.
The little knocker thing.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, those little tiny hammers and the
yes.
cubes.
Holy
in the
shit, dude, I haven't thought about that game literally
Me either.
Probably
when
30
I think
plus
about
years.
Like Mattel games or like, do you remember the game Don't Wake Daddy? Like, I remember seeing like the commercials for it and I never wanted to play that ever.
Crackers in bed. Fuck all of y'all.
That was a game?
Yeah, crackers in my what?
I've never heard of that.
Who are you? You just showed your age, or I guess I showed mine.
You're
anyways,
3 years older than me.
You're welcome.
But see how much of a kid I am? When you guys said don't break the ice, or oh no, you didn't say don't break the ice. You just said break the ice. I immediately
right.
go to a childhood game. That's how I roll. Yeah.
Battleship.
And all it was meant to be was a pun on the winter.
Right. Exactly.
And I'm still a kid. I'm telling right. you, I don't think that way. I think like a kid thinks.
All right, Dave. So for each of these Christmas episodes, we have like a special segment for everybody that we are, you know, kind of accommodating each person for that episode. No, we have a segment specially for you.
Ooh.
And it's called Which Black Christmas Is It?
Oh, this is wow. a good one.
Ooh, so... Hey. I'm going to ask you a number of questions, and you, since, you know, you just watched all these films, you should be able to name which one they're from.
You know who you're talking to? Okay. My memory is shit.
I think I have faith that you'll get at least okay. out of five.
Right. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 questions.
3 out of 8, then.
Okay.
I'll still fail. Okay.
All right. Which Black Christmas is it? What movie says, fuck all you bitches?
Oh, wait a minute. I just saw that. Fuck all you bitches? Oh, that would be 2006.
Correct!
Oh, shit, which is actually kind of tricky because in the
yep.
new one, he says something very similar.
Yeah, he says, fuck you bitches or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, fuck all you bitches, yeah.
Oh.
Well, that's
the line.
Yes, okay, but good job. He's got one.
Yes.
Woo-hoo.
All right, which Black Christmas is it? Which film does someone get attacked with a sled?
Get attacked with what?
A sled.
A sled? What the
yeah.
fuck? Let me think about this. Attacked with a sled. I'm going to guess 2019.
Correct.
Yes, sir. Yeah, ooh. One of the bitches just fucking goes into the fraternity room there with a sled. I literally vocalized it.
Yes,
is that a
did.
Fucking
sled? So I was
like, sled?
I gotta make that a question.
Like, wow.
Damn.
All yes. right, Dave C., which Black Christmas is it? Which film shows a hockey rink?
Oh, 74.
Woo! See?
3 out of 3.
Wow.
All right. This one might be a little tricky, but I think you can do it. Which film... doesn't have a man get a plastic bag around his head?
Oh, the first one. There was no man with a plastic bag.
See? Daisy knows his shit.
Yes, exactly. You just
we underestimate him. He's going 10 for 9.
Well, now they get a little bit harder. Those were the warm-up questions.
Those are the softballs.
Okay.
All right. Which film script was inspired by real-life serial killer Edmund Kemper?
Edmund Kemper. 2006.
Yes.
Oh, wow. How did cool. you know that? Did you just guess?
Well, I by deduction, because I thought about having a sister and a mother and the jaundice or whatever the fuck he had. It just seemed like something that they could base something on.
Right, right, right. Wow, well done.
He's got them all right so far.
Fucking A.
Ooh. Right. Which film was originally titled Silent Night, Evil Night?
The original, 74.
Yes.
Woo! Yes.
All right. God, he's killing it.
He is.
I'm shocked.
Which film was released on a Friday the 13th?
Oh, wait a minute. On a Friday the 13th. Actually, I think that was 2019.
You are correct.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
All right, we got one more for you. Which film had an actress sign on after visiting a psychic?
Sign on after visiting a psychic?
Yes.
Wow. Holy fuck. I will say Damn it, that's a tough one. It's one of the last two. I'll just take a stab in the dark and say 06.
Ah, well,
actually,
fuck.
You're wrong. The correct answer is 1974.
You know what?
Wow. Olivia Hussey signed on, I think it was Hussey?
No, she's Hussey.
Hussey, it is Hussey.
She signed on after she visited a psychic and said that if she was to star, she was going to star in a movie that was made out of Canada and it was going to make a lot of money. So when this film got presented to her and it was based out of Canada, she was like, well, I got to do it.
Right. Wow.
Damn. That's pretty cool.
Isn't that a fun trivia?
That is, yeah. Indeed.
Yeah, I thought that might be the hardest one, so.
And I was way off. I thought, I see, psychics seem more new age to me
right.
than something from 74. I mean, I know they've been around forever, but it just seems more likely that people, you know, in modern times would go to a psychic over something like that. So that's why I figured one of those two.
And Dave Z, she had asked me these questions earlier, and I had gotten them all right up until that one as well. So
really?
That's the, yeah.
All right, guys, it has come to that point in time of the show to where we get into our feature reviews.
Yes.
The first one up tonight is Black Christmas 1974.
The OG.
The OG. And I'm just going to read the synopsis based off of or what's written on IMDb. Sometimes they're accurate, sometimes they're not. During their Christmas break, a group of sorority girls are stalked by a stranger.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, how completely basic that was.
That really was.
Yes, indeed.
But sometimes I like them short and sweet.
Absolutely. Now, Dave Z, when was the first time that you saw this movie?
The first time I saw it was way back in the day, in the heyday of VHS rentals in the 80s. So,
wow. So way
back.
Oh.
Just another movie on the shelf with all the other ones that I rented, because we basically tried to rent the entire horror section was our goal. And if we didn't see a movie in the 80s, it's because A, it wasn't available, you know, it just wasn't on the shelves anywhere, or B, we just decided we didn't want to see it. So we pretty much saw like 80% of everything that was available, you know?
Right. Now, let's talk about the elephant in the room real quick, because obviously, you know, Halloween came years later after this. And this is basically the movie where people feel that it doesn't get its recognition for being the true OG slasher. Now, do you contest that at all, Dave? Or do you think that, yes, this is the originator, other than Peeping Tom?
Okay.
we watched that piece
that's,
of shit.
That's,
fuck
a, pretty,
that
that's
movie.
A pretty far stretch.
That's not even close, yes.
No.
This one, though.
I'm with you. Peeping Tom, first of all, it only has a couple of scenes that use the POV through a camera, and it's not POV as the way POV is used in Peeping Tom isn't as the viewer seeing it through the killer's eyes. It's the killer seeing it through a camera's eyes. It's different.
Yes.
It's not a slasher. It's just not. Now, when we did our top 50 slasher show for Exploding Heads, we had to sit down and say, what are we going to consider the first official slasher, and what's going to be the criteria? We really put so much into that damn show that to this day, I think it's one of the best things that we ever did. So we decided on that show, for that show, that 1974's Black Christmas is the official first slasher. And I don't think it gets the credit to the, you know, to average Joe and Jane walking the streets. They don't know about it, but I think we know that it is, although some people would disagree. I consider it the first slasher. I think that
it is.
Friday the 13th
you know,
perfected it, but I think this is the first one.
Totally.
You know, this is top 50, or was it top 100? Something like that. Top 50 horror movies you've never heard of.
Uh-huh.
This movie is on that list. And I'm like, how can the fuck you not hear about Black Christmas? Because, I mean, I feel like I grew up in the age to where it was known, you know.
People don't know it. Talk to people at your job. Like, I'm telling you, if I say Black Christmas to people I work with, they won't even know. Even though there's been three of them, one of them from this last year, they still
haven't really heard of it. Yeah,
dude, I'm telling you, people.
I don't think I want to associate with those people.
They're average people. They're the people you're going to bump into at the office. They don't know what Black Christmas is. And that's why I think that people, horror fans like us, hold this movie as high in regard as they do, mostly because It's ours. It's one of those things like, okay, well, you think this, this, and this, and you think Halloween was the first, but guess what?
Right.
We have something over here that you don't even know about, motherfucker. It's called Black Christmas.
Years before.
Well, that, and I feel, though, Christmas is a more, I mean, obviously, we're horror fans, so we love Halloween, right? I mean, not just the movie, but the holiday itself.
The
Mecca. You know,
Mecca.
We love everything about that. Like, we embrace it. It's an entire month. And, you know, I do the same with Christmas, but Christmas is coveted for, I mean, it's a religious holiday to a lot of people.
Right.
So I feel like there was kind of this, you know, stigma, you know, based off of having it be, and it happened with, you know, the other film as well, Black Christmas 2006. Mm-hmm. So I think that the reason it's disregarded is because, or that it was disregarded, it's not so much now, like you see a lot more people talk about it. Compared to before, but because it was a, you know, Christianity holiday based around, I think that's why a lot of people, you know, kind of refuse to acknowledge it as just purely based on religion.
Really?
Yeah. What do you think, Dave?
And that's why I think it's fun to love it. That's why I
love it. Yes.
Seriously, like, I want to put it out there, even though, truth be told, I am religious to a degree. I'm not going to get deep into it, but I consider myself a Christian, and I believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, I'll leave it at that. But I love, it's not trolling, but it's like, okay, I love horror, and everybody in my life knows that I love horror movies. So you're going to see me wearing fucking Black Christmas clothes in this month, because I want to not blaspheme your holiday, but I do want to have fun with it. I want every holiday to have the horror, the odor of horror on it, one way or the other. But when it's Christmas, you kind of know that you might be rattling some people's cages. And people that are that uptight, I think, kind of deserve to have their cages rattled a little bit. So, I think, Lacey, you're onto something there. I think people don't want to acknowledge it because Christmas is held in such high regard, and it's blasphemy to think that, you know, anything. And then you can go a step further when Silent Night, Deadly Night came out, and everything that happened there, don't make Santa Claus into a killer. What's the matter with you? There was all kinds of backlash, you know? So,
yes,
I'm with you. But did you know this is Elvis Presley's favorite movie?
Is it?
No,
what?
I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah, and my mother loves Elvis, and I'll tell her that. Yep.
Now, Dave Z, you are predominantly a horror movie watcher and fan.
Like 98%.
But what I have also noticed about Dave is, even though he says he's not dialed into pop culture, there are certain aspects of it which I believe it's contrary to that, which I feel like you were very dialed in. Now, did you grow up with A Christmas Story directed by Bob Clark?
Let me tell you this, and I just spoke about this on Exploding Heads recently.
Yes.
The whole thing with me and A Christmas Story, it's really weird, because A Christmas Story quietly showed up on HBO in the mid-80s. Just quietly showed up one year, 85 right. or something like that. And my family and I, like everything else, because we were an HBO family, because it was really, you had those channels, you had HBO, Cinemax, right. and the movie channel, and we had them all. But HBO was the granddaddy, they had the HBO guide. We were an HBO family. So something comes on, we're going to watch it, especially if it's a family related thing, and anything called A Christmas Story by default.
Taxi
gonna,
Cab Confessions.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
What was that? Awesome. Was that
put it on, Dad.
The cat house show.
The cat house.
Well,
yes.
You were in Vegas. You know about the cat house.
Yeah, I know a cat or two. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I completely
Air Force
interrupted
Amy.
You. I feel bad. Yes. Oh, wow.
Come on. We all know who
sorry,
she is.
Sorry,
Dave. No, it's great. So A Christmas Story quietly debuts in 1985, I'm going to say, maybe even 84, on HBO. And we watch it, and me and my family, I don't know how everybody else's families are, but my fucked up family, we're all into movies, and we all quote movie lines all the time. And me, my father, my brothers, my uncle, my cousins, there are certain movies that made the rounds when I was a kid where we were all quoting those movies all the time. Any family get-together or Sunday pasta dinner, we're all fucking firing out lines. Well, let me tell you, the first 2-3 years A Christmas Story was around in the mid-80s, nobody knew what the fuck it was. But me and my family, we all did. We were all talking about this line and that. And mostly my family loves the old man, the father, and quotes his lines. And
what's the lineup?
Oh, dude, he's great. He's fucking amazing. Well, it's a lamp, you know? But, I mean, We were doing his fucking lines. To this day, my father still does them, you know? So it was really weird when all of a sudden A Christmas Story got popular later on. They showed it on TNT, and then I don't know when it started, maybe the late 90s, when they started showing it every year, and then eventually it became 24 hours. And now everywhere you look, there's this, there's the old man. People are selling the fucking the lamp. They're selling this, that. Everybody in the world, it's like a top five, probably top three Christmas movie. But it was something that, for me, I loved it more when it was just mine, just ours, or just a few of us were into it. When it got really popular and it became everybody's thing, I still love it, and I still watch it and quote it like everybody else. But kind of the luster isn't there that used to be there. But to, my long-winded answer is I've always known about that movie and always loved it.
That's how Dan feels about Cobra Kai since it switched over to Netflix. Like,
dude,
he like watched it like when it first started, you know, like on the YouTube. Like nobody watched it, you know, like you, like nobody wanted to pay for it.
And, but the thing now is,
it's on Netflix, and there's so many little posers out there now.
But the thing is, though, you're so vocal about it. You're like, yo, and people look at you and respond to you like you're a fucking moron. They're like, what do you mean? Like, okay, Karate Kid, like, shut up. And I'm like, it's brilliant. Fuck yourself. Like, it's just, and then obviously it takes a little while. Or it takes fucking something getting moved to Netflix, something like that. And then everybody loves it. And yeah, it kind of, well, you know what it is too. Then you start just hearing more opinions about things and you're just like, who are you? Like, do you even care? Like about any of this? So that's just my,
I think just like when something is popular, like, or
it does, you know, it takes away its luster.
It really does. Like, it was coveted, like, before. Like, I felt like a cool kid, you know? Like, so I completely understand what you're saying. But, like, that kind of also makes me feel like an OG.
Right.
You know, when I've discovered something. Like,
a five-star general, if you will.
I am a five-fucking-star general. I made over 500 movies this year.
Wow.
It's official now, yeah.
It's gotta be, right?
I drive a Dodge Stratus.
No, I drive a Chevy Malibu.
I am important.
All right, guys, I am important.
People are scared of me.
You know what? This movie is also important because Black Christmas 1974 is a staple of the horror genre. However you want to slice and dice it.
Yes. I'll say this, though. Once I found out Bob Clark did direct this as well, it's one of those things. It didn't compute in my head. I'm like, what do you mean? The Christmas Story, which I fucking grew up with and love, the guy did this as well. But it's funny because you had said this watching it, which I think is it's a very easy thing to do in a holiday movie. But I think that they nailed it in this, which is you brought up. They nailed the Christmas feel.
Yeah.
In it. You know, like when you see the cars outside and the snow and even the scenes of the house outside, the exterior shots of the house.
It feels very Bob Clark.
And everything inside as well with all the characters feels very Christmassy. It's centered around Christmas. It treats Christmas with a certain respect.
So what's your relationship with this movie?
With this, I had honestly, like, I was one of those people where I'm a horror fan. I know of it and I respect it. I had never really seen it from front to back. But like Dave said, if you're a horror fan, like, you know
of it,
you know what year it was made and in relation or in correlation to fucking Halloween. And yeah, like, I was excited when I first watched it. My first watch, though, was not good of this movie. I was bored by it.
Me too.
It was very off-putting. I think I shut it off a couple times. Took me forever to get through. Since then, for this podcast, it was definitely much better. But as we'll get into, you know, towards the end of this review, I do not love this movie by any stretch of the imagination.
For me, funny story. Since nobody asked.
Hey, baby, tell us a funny story.
For me. Okay, so, like, I knew the movie existed. However, I had never seen it, like, back in, you know, 2006, 2007. I went to a pre-owned, you know, place where you can buy, you know, video games, movies, gaming systems, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Jaded CD and Hobby here.
Yes, I love that place, dude. Place is amazing.
And they had a sale, like, buy three, get four free or whatever, you know. And I'd seen Black Christmas 2006, and I was just like, oh, well, this is a good price because this is, you know, it's a fairly new release at this point in time.
Right,
so I can get it for free. Cool. And I didn't know that so I went to put it in, mm-hmm. and it's the original. Uh-huh. I didn't know.
Okay.
Like, I'm that stupid. Well, when I was like 18, I was that stupid, yes. And so I popped it in, and I was like, well, that's the bitch from Superman. And I feel super bad for saying that because she's amazing. And, you know, she's obviously, you know, Amityville Horror. I mean, she's much more than the bitch from Superman, but that's what I was thinking at that
Who's
time.
Who's got you?
Yeah. Rest in peace, Margot Kidder. But I popped it in, and I watched, like, the first, you know, I kind of had a similar experience with 2019, but I watched like the first 15 to 20 minutes and I was just like, God, you know, I'm not in the right headspace to watch this film. You know, the Black Xmas is much faster paced. This one is more, and you know, when you're 18, 19 years old, you want more fast paced at that time. You don't want the tension. You don't want the buildup. I did not appreciate like a slow burn at that point in time kind of thing.
At 18? No.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
I can completely agree with that. Absolutely.
So I shut it off and then I finally finished it today.
Oh, wow. So this was your first official time watch.
Yes, yes.
Well, spoiler, same for me as well. Because I had faded out the first time. I never really gave it a rewatch until this podcast. Yeah. And I feel like
I feel like I knew enough about it.
Right. Well, and there's definitely a lot you can say about this movie. I just feel like, wow.
Dave's so disappointed in us.
It's very, tough because, you know, you're coming from a point of view which is basically reverse engineering things.
Right.
Meaning we know it's the first and we're going to give credit where credit's due, you know? And if you put it in relation to everything that came after it and all that, those kind of things.
It was fun to put that together.
It's great. And you know what? That you got to give it its respect. But at the same time, like, I am who I am. I've seen what I've seen, and I've seen it in the order that I've seen it in. So seeing this now, is it the greatest slasher? Absolutely not. I'll give it its first. I'll give it the fact that it's Christmas, you know, angle on the horror movie, I think is great. You know, for all those reasons that you guys said about it being a Christian holiday and all these mm-hmm. things too. Like, I just think that's a badass fucking way to look at it. And like I said, the fact that it's the guy that did A Christmas Story just blows my mind.
Were there any other holiday films covered in a horror movie before this one?
Yeah, there were.
Yeah.
Like Silent what? Night, the Silent Night, Bloody Night came out before this, the original one. So this wasn't even the first Christmas horror movie.
Well, fuck! What the fuck was I talking about earlier then? There's another one?
A lot of people think that. That's
Dave!
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
What's going on?
Yeah, Silent Night, Bloody Night came out in 1972.
Oh, fucking hell. I'm
Same
done.
Year of Last House on
All
the
right,
Left?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm done.
Like, yeah. And I've heard there's another movie, so I don't even know this for certain.
Wow.
I've heard there's another movie called Santa Claus that is a horror movie from, like, the 50s or the 60s.
No shit, dude.
I've heard it. I can't confirm it. I don't know 100%.
So,
you know what it is?
Yes.
From 1959, and it's kind of like, it's horror the way... maybe something like Ernest Scared Stupid is horror.
I can't
okay,
what?
Fair enough.
The devil's
you know,
involved.
We almost asked you to be on for Ernest Saves Christmas.
I've never seen 1 minute of any Ernest movie.
Were you happy you got a horror movie or horror
movies?
As opposed to just a random movie, or would you have taken whatever we gave you?
I would have taken whatever was given, but. I'm thrilled that it's horror, of course, like any other time. What do you want to watch? Horror movie or not. Well, usually a horror.
Well, you want to talk about reverse engineering things. That this is the only episode which I actually tailored to you. Because I was like, you know, Dave Z's strictly horror. So it's like, we have to do.
Well, yeah. And for the segment, like, I've been doing, like, different Christmas movies and everything. Instead, you know, since we're covering three films, I thought it would be fun to do, you know, name that Black Christmas film. I had other questions on that, but they were kind of, like, ridiculous. Like, they were a lot harder, I think. I won't even ask. Maybe I'll ask them at the end.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you guys a question since you're talking about A Christmas Story and Bob Clark and Black Christmas. Okay. I didn't notice this until I've probably seen this movie a dozen times. I probably didn't notice this until I think the year of the slasher I noticed it. So that was like 2-3 years ago. Either way. What is the one similarity? Something happens in this movie that also happens in A Christmas Story. Did either one of you pick up on it?
Oh.
And I never heard anybody mention this until I noticed it that time, and I mentioned it on Exploding Eds, but I've never heard anybody else talk about it. I was like, wait a minute! It was one of those things. Has to do with snow. I'll give you a hint.
Does Billy get his mouth washed out with soap? With snow. Okay. With
does
snow.
Billy get put into an abundance of winter clothing? I like the Wizard of Oz.
Double
I like the Tin Man.
Stop snow. Talking to me. I'm trying to think.
Snow.
Oh, God. Can you give me a direction?
A direction, huh?
Like a clue. Give me a fucking clue.
Okay, I got another clue. It has to do with glasses.
They're walking out the snow and steps on the glasses?
Oh, yes, they drop the glasses. The father does it in Black Christmas, and obviously Ralphie does it in A Christmas Story, right?
Pretty close. The exact thing happens in both instances, though. Somebody throws a snowball at them, and it knocks their glasses off.
Oh, okay. Cool. Oh, right, okay. Oh, nice.
Isn't that something? It happened to the father in this movie, and I was like, wait a minute, that happened to Ralphie in A Christmas Story.
Oh, dude, that is fucking smart. Hey, want to hear another little connection? Here's a connection to the 2006 one, which I don't believe is intentional. If it is, they went to an extreme to cast her. But there's a line in the original where he's like, I love you, and she's like, I know, which is obviously the classic Star Wars line that Han Solo gives to Princess Leia in Empire Strikes Back. And Carrie Fisher stars in the 2006 one.
Carrie Fisher is not in 2006. You're thinking of Sorority Row right now.
Wow. I'm just going to delete that.
Well, I know why you did it. You confused Margot Kidder with Carrie Fisher.
Yes.
I don't want to talk about it, Dave. That's one of the... Wow.
That's where I thought you were.
I am fucking so stupid.
No, we actually talked about
it. No, I'm so stupid.
You confuse them, too. It's a good way to confuse, and I'll tell you why. Because in the 80s, the two big franchises... For going to the movies to see movies, well, for me at least, were these two. They were the, of course, Star Wars, the Star Wars movies, and then you had the three Superman movies, not counting the fourth. So I always would confuse Carrie Fisher as Leia with Margot as Oates. Get it?
No, like the best part about this, Dave, is we literally
is
had
we're
this
editing
no,
all of it.
No, we literally had this conversation as we were watching we watched them in order. We watched 74, 06, and 19 in a row. And as we were watching 74, Dan was like, he's like, hey, you know who the house mother is in this? And for some reason, my automatic thought was Carrie Fisher, because I knew where he was going with it. But she's the house mother in Sorority Row, and that's where I got it confused. And he's like, yes, you got it right. And I was just like, is that right, though? I don't think she was in both, like, after I sat there and thought about it for a minute. So he literally looked up. He was like, no, that's not Carrie Fisher. It's the bitch from the first one.
I said it. I'm fucking stupid as
and
shit.
Then
can
the fact
we
that he
on,
just
please?
Did that again.
Amazing.
You're welcome.
Amazing. You're welcome. Now, how about this? Margot Kidder was in two holiday-themed horror movies. She played... the girl in Black Christmas 74, and then she came back and played Laurie Strode's therapist in H2.
Oh, Rob Zombie. In Halloween 2. There you go. Right yep. on. Right
Great.
On.
Yeah. Yeah. Who would have yep. thunk it?
That's amazing.
That is indeed, baby.
What a All show.
Right. Whoa.
All right, guys, can I be honest with you?
Yes.
All right, so since Dan just had a little flip-up, I feel like I need to as well. You know, to try to even things out.
Okay. Embarrass yourself equally.
I will. I have.
I wouldn't recommend it. It doesn't feel the greatest.
No? All right, so when Margot Kidder is in the police station and she gives the name Felatio.
Right.
I don't know what fellatio means. I know.
Wow.
Like,
oh.
Like, I feel like I do, but I don't. Like, if I had to guess. I didn't look it up, guys. I did not look it
you
up.
You will find out after the show.
What do you mean? For some reason, I felt like I think I might be comparing it to, like, self-defecating.
No. Well.
Not quite. I said maybe kind of in the same area. There might be something.
Okay, so Felicia, is that like balls are in your face?
Why balls in your face?
Yeah,
it's close. Close.
Yeah, I really have no idea. Felatio.
You perform Felatio. How's that?
Yes.
All right, let's get the Urban Dictionary.
Baby, we don't.
You know,
we,
I'm gonna.
Hey,
I'm gonna
we don't need a witch. We don't need
I'm
going to
ask Alexa's
one.
Version.
Okay.
All right, hang on. Dave, are you ready for this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Alexa, what does fellatio mean?
I'd rather not answer that.
Exactly.
All right, so who wants to tell me what it means?
Dave, tell her.
Well, you okay. The hint should get it. Fellatio is something that you perform. I could perform fellatio on somebody tonight if I so chose to. I prefer that she perform it on me. Actually, no, I like it both ways.
So it's just like performing oral sex?
Yeah, sucking dick.
That's
person.
It?
Yeah.
FD. That's fellatio.
That's fucking stupid.
Well,
not worth the buildup at all.
Tell that to Bob Clark, baby.
I will.
I mean.
It's always worth the buildup as far as I'm concerned.
That was good. That was good.
Hey, at least her tongue didn't get frozen to the dick while she was sucking it.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
It amazed me, Dan. Maybe that's what he was thinking of. Fellatio, everybody!
Yes.
You're welcome for that Woo! Segment.
Did you ever see that movie, Christine?
Yes.
That word comes up in Christine because Arnie says that the night before he was playing Scrabble with his parents, and his mother wouldn't allow him to use the word fellatio.
I thought you were going to talk about the deleted scene where the car blows him.
Is that really Arnie,
sorry, I'm trying to sound more like Brent Norlick these days.
Arnie performs fellatio on the car. He
suck it on the pipe, baby.
Well, and, you know, going with the theme of, like, inappropriateness, like, for 1974, this movie was... Like, the language is pretty raunchy.
It's pretty, yeah.
I mean, when they get the obscene phone calls, you know, pretty pink cunt.
Well,
like,
okay, that was right out of the gate, too. That's one of the first scenes. Like, wow, that was some vulgar language for sure.
Yeah. So, listeners, if you are offended, we're cut to the fucking chase. So, quit listening now. But, pretty pink cunt. Like, I think I just like him.
Well, and the voice that this guy does in all these calls, they're almost different. You know, there's different variations for each of the calls, but he is all over the fucking place. This guy is a complete fucking nut job.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like at one point in time, I thought I heard like a woman's voice.
Right.
Like, was that him?
I think that's implied.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
He's a man of all trade. He just can do all kinds of voices. Yeah, he's talented.
Exactly. And I also like, though, too, that in this movie, you know, one of the things that I've noticed very quickly is I guess what they were trying off as comedy, especially with the house mother and the fucking booze.
Yeah, what I read.
Now, yeah.
was originally Bob Clark said that he felt like the script was too dark. So he actually went and did a rewrite with the house mother and made her more comedic.
Is that what that was? That was stupid. He should not have made that addition. no, because listen, I understand that. Okay, you're trying to get to know these characters. That's what this, you know, opener is, besides the opening kill, which let's talk about that real quick. What did you guys think about that opening kill?
The plastic on clothing definitely dates the film,
and it's a very classic shot too of her in the attic and in the window. That's what I
it's
think
iconic
of.
Yeah, that's when I think about Christmas, I think of the bag
for sure. How about you, Dave?
Yeah, listen, I think the first like 12 minutes of this movie entirely are epic. Everything about it, the POV, him climbing the chalice outside, the phone calls, and the kill are some of the best stuff in horror. Great start to the film. Love it.
Like, do you feel like that viewers at that point in time were, you know, scared by it? Like, you got to think it's like the 1970s, right? So do you think that it would be as effective today as it was then?
No, and that's kind of sad. I mean, you could say that about all the greats. You could say that about the opening of Halloween 78, which I consider to be the best opening of any horror movie ever. It's because POV and suspense and things like that are, you know, I guess for people like us, we can appreciate it, maybe watching an indie film or something. But for mass audiences, it just seems to be like suspense has become a thing of the past, and it's more about, I don't know, other aspects of horror.
Shock value.
Yeah, gore and others. Just when do you see suspense anymore? When do you see a movie? Even if you remake any slasher from the 70s or the 80s now, watch them. You don't see chase scenes, long ones, and suspense, and a final girl trapped by herself, and it good. It just, I don't know, they don't do it that way anymore.
Right. Do you think that's a good or bad thing, though? Like, do you think they become tropes for a reason?
Well, tropes are one thing, and we're always going to have them depending on, you know, the time period that we're in. They're always going to be there. But I think it's almost like fashion. Everything comes back. I think we're to the point now where, you know, bell bottoms should come back. And what I mean by that is I think suspense should come back. We should have more of that. Like, people that are watching film nowadays, like, you know, like teenagers, for example, that are going to go to the movies whenever they, you know, when things get back to normal, that are horror fans, I think that they should be made to appreciate that stuff. But the only way that's going to happen is if they get accustomed to it. I mean, well, luckily, my daughter sees it all. She sees horror movies from all, you know, different years, different decades, and she can, like, she's never bored.
What is her favorite horror film?
Believe it or not, her favorite horror film is Us.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice. Oh,
Jordan
right on.
Peele. Yeah, before Us, it was Sinister, and before Sinister, it was A Nightmare on Elm Street. So she's all
Can over. You imagine being that age, though, and having those movies as, like, those years? Like, that's what she's starting off with, like, thought-provoking movies and shit like that. Like, that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah,
right.
Like,
it
and that just
great.
Makes me proud as horror fans, too, because it's like, oh, yeah, no,
we're
doing
evolving,
a good job.
We're growing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But suspense should come back, and I hope it
For
does.
Sure.
You know, and... You know.
Well,
you know, that's why I love, you know, like whodunits, is because it's suspenseful. Like it engages you as a viewer.
Right.
You know, you're thinking the whole time like, oh, well, this has to make sense. This has to make sense in order
slashers,
for it. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. The whodunit slashers
they're
is
so
by far
far
my favorite,
right.
you know, genre. And there's so far and few between of them. Like,
right.
I'm so excited for Scream 5. You have no idea.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, yeah, absolutely. For sure.
Because you get, it's another whodunit. And that's like my favorite aspect of Scream is the whodunit part, honestly. Obviously, watching the sequel, or not this, it's not a sequel,
it's
watching
not.
The remake,
yeah, right.
I thought it was a whodunit going in because I had never seen this one.
Right.
So going into watching this, I knew it wasn't a whodunit.
Right. Right. Okay. Wow, that's a weird way to think about it. Okay.
Yeah, so, like, I knew that it had, you know, a lot of similarities, but at the time that I was watching 06,
right.
I thought it was a whodunit.
Right, for sure. Now, as far as setting the tone for Christmas, I think they nailed that. As far as setting up the characters, how did you guys feel that they did right out of the gate? You know, like a normal movie does,
right.
it gets you introduced to everybody.
Care about the character?
Yeah, Dave, what do you think?
I think it does a good job establishing them. My problem is, I'm not overall a fan of any of them. Maybe Phil seems to be the best. But
right.
Margot Kidder is a little too overboard with the things she's saying, and she knows that the guy's daughter's missing, and some of it's just too much. She's going to talk about the turtle screwing and this. It's just it's a little too much of that, right? That's what I think about that. And I also don't think that she's going to go to this place. She's so angry that she has to go to the cop station and say, hey, listen, this girl is missing and we're getting these obscene phone calls. Are you going to do something about it? We're pissed off. Yet when she gets there and she has an opportunity to give them a number so they can
really
help, she gives them a fake number. Does that make any sense at all?
No, not at all.
The fellatio number. Stupid.
And
okay?
She's drunk
so she,
the whole time
not a
too.
Good character, okay?
Right.
Now, this may be unpopular, but I don't like Jess as the final girl. I think she's too damn mean to her boyfriend. If the abortion issue aside, it's not my decision. Whatever. I'm not getting into that aspect of the conversation, but I'll say this. Do not pick that day when the guy has the most important recital of his life to go to see him in person and say, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant and I'm going to abort it. Are you fucking...
Right.
That's the timing you have? You can't wait till the next... maybe after the holidays? Maybe?
You know,
Oh, dude.
It's funny that, you know, I love that I'm a female talking to two dudes.
I love that you're a female, too.
I thought you did. No, because, like, obviously, like, I have a different perspective.
Well, yes.
You know,
yes,
like, and we'll just get into the, you know, whole baby abortion thing real quick and squash it. So, like, obviously, like, he comes to her, you know, towards the end of the film, and he's like, you know what, I don't want to be doing what I'm doing. Like, I'm going to propose to you, and we're going to get married, and that's it. That's how I felt about it.
But who says that?
And, you know, she's like, well, you know, I have dreams of my own. Like, obviously, like, he thinks it's very...
Yeah, he didn't even think of her.
No, it was all about, like, what he wants and what he wants to do. So, like, I'm bringing the female perspective, guys.
Right.
So,
I respect, I know what you're going to say, and I respect it.
Yeah.
I just think her timing to go to him on that day was wrong. That's all.
Well, yeah, but then, like, for him to come and say, like, hey, I'm going to stop doing this, this, and this, so you need to stop doing this, this, and this, so we can do this and raise a family, and
that's
this is what it's
going
to be.
Yeah.
You know? And I loved her response. She was like, well, I still have my hopes and dreams, and just because you're changing your opinion doesn't mean that I am on mine. And that's why I don't want to have this kid.
Right.
You know, because we're going to get a fucking Agnes. But...
Hey, you don't want a fucking Agnes. With yellow skin, either, Billy.
But no, to be fair, I do not like her as... Like, I don't think she's a likable lead, no.
Look, here's the thing. The way that it plays out, though, in this movie, with him at the end and the chase scene with her thinking that it's him... Well, I guess at the end, everybody else does think it's him as well, except us, the audience.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, there's not a big enough correlation with the fucking abortion storyline for it to make any sense for me. Like, I get it. They're establishing characters and trying to make you feel for these characters by set up by this situation with the abortion. At the same time, I could not fucking care any less. Like, literally.
Well,
and
you
just
don't
like,
care for her.
I do. That I get that's the point. I'm saying I don't. All I could think of is Margot Kidder isn't Superman. This chick looks like Kristen Kruick, who plays Lana Lang on Smallville. That's all that's going through my mind. That's it. Like none of these side stories in any of these Black Christmases seem to amount to anything significant. That I felt like, what are we doing? Like it's almost like set. Like Dave said earlier. I don't know. It almost felt like dramatic. In a sense.
Well, I feel like they're trying to get you to, like, care about the characters like they do in other films, you know, obviously. And this comes before a lot of those films. Like, I feel like...
Yep. It gets no slack, baby.
Yeah, well, I feel like...
It gets no slack.
I feel like a lot of films took elements from this movie and just improved on them.
Totally.
You know? And one of those things is likability of the characters.
Right.
And this one, like, obviously, the characters aren't necessarily likable. For me, you know, Olivia Hussey, who plays Jess,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking the whole time, like, why the fuck is she foreign? And
is she fucking British?
Like, yeah. I mean, it never explains, like, is she a foreign exchange student? Like, how, when did she get to America? But obviously she's the one who came to, you know, do a Canadian film because her psych told her to.
Yeah, but, zero explanation on that, huh?
Yeah, there right? was none. But she has that accent, and I'm just thinking the entire time, I was like, God, I know this accent, and I fucking know I don't like her from something else. What do I not like her from?
And
then it dawned on me, and okay. it was from Stephen King's miniseries, It.
Oh, yep. What did she play?
She played Audra of
what's Bill. His name? Yep.
And she goes blind for some fucking stupid reason in the movie. But I just remember she's like, and like she's I hated her then and I hate her in this, and
you probably hated her more after seeing this because
I'm just not a fan of her as an actress. I'm really not, like,
you hussy.
One part that I really believed her acting in this, though, like I felt it, was they don't do this a lot in horror movies anymore, is Billy actually literally grabs her by the hair.
Oh right,
yeah. Like right. that.
Like, and that yep. felt so real in that
yeah.
moment.
Yep.
They don't do that anymore because obviously,
you
like, I don't know, but like, that was a real moment.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I loved seeing that.
Yeah.
That was my favorite scene with her in this film.
Right.
What do you think about that, Dave Z?
That you know what? The whole thing with the hair, I noticed it this time, maybe for the first time, but that I wrote it down in my notes. I'm like, oh, that's a nice little touch there. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
You don't
right.
you don't see it.
Right.
Yeah. It's right. cool. And I'll tell you what, for Olivia Hussey, I'm going to go a step further in the 6 degrees of separation game, because check it out. Olivia Hussey is in this movie, okay? Now, in the remake of this movie in 2006, there is a woman that is having incest with her son and sleeping with him. Now,
yes.
Olivia Hussey, later on, goes on to play a part in another movie, and I know a movie that I know Dan has definitely seen, where she does make sexual advances towards her son, and that movie is Psycho 4: The Beginning. She plays Norman Bates.
Her. It is her.
I haven't seen it, so can we refrain from spoilers, because we're going to do that show next year?
Yes, very sorry. I just.
Oh, no. Well, we obviously know that Norman Bates is a fucking psycho, so I'm assuming that's what you're referring to, right?
Oh, yeah. It's Norman Bates, and his mother is, you know, it's not. Yeah,
I mean,
you know. Yeah.
I get it.
It just occurred to me now. I was like, how about that? She's in this movie. There's a Black Christmas scene. There's another thing that she's in.
That is
you should
wild.
See his face right now, Dave.
Yeah, that's crazy, though.
How about
his jaw is on the floor.
Elliot.
How about Romeo and Juliet? Did you guys watch Romeo and Juliet in school?
Oh, she played Juliet, yeah.
Oh,
yes,
shit.
Like the OG Romeo and Juliet.
No, yeah. I was like, that's not Claire Danes. No, I didn't recognize that one.
Wow. Jamie Kennedy's in that movie?
Oh, yeah, he is. Those are the rules.
I forgot they made that movie.
I know. And the funny thing was,
Paul Rudd's in that as well.
They fucking talked like it was the olden days, the whole movie. What does thou want?
Thou wants
as he drives
fellatio.
His like, Cadillac out. Like, it was funny.
Thou wants fellatio.
Thou does want fellatio, indeed.
F-E. I'm just going to say an F-E all the time for if I want to blow.
I have a feeling after this episode, fellatio is going to blow up.
Thou guys. Wants to press the pause button on this podcast.
You
fellatio can blow up in my house any day.
Thou will not.
Wow.
All right. So let's talk about booze in a book.
Yes. Let's. That's what I'm saying, though. Like,
good trick.
The extent that they go to show that this lady's such an alcoholic is ridiculous. First of all, first and foremost, because of the fact that they are all openly fucking drinking in the house. So then she has to go in a side room and break out. Maybe it was stronger. Like, was that the intention? Like, oh, this is better. But I'm pretty sure Margot Kidder in that scene before and, like, right after that as well, I think she's fucking drinking whiskey or something. Like,
she
I could
is.
Be wrong. Yeah.
She's double-fisted. But the thing is, she's the house mother. She's the responsible adult. You know?
Okay. I can buy that. Yeah, for sure.
Like a teacher, you know?
But is she not having the time of her life, though, going through all her little hidden spots?
Yeah, the toilet.
Yeah, right. Like, it was just so over the top for me that, I don't know. You know, in terms of trying to establish tone this early in the movie, I feel like that was a misstep. Like, I got it, and I think I read it for what it is. But in terms of, like, how the rest of the movie played out, it really just doesn't match it. Like, at one point, I thought we were fucking watching Animal House or something.
What do you mean?
It felt like.
No.
Hey, I'll say this, too. One thing that I've noticed watching this movie is the sound. Now, this is indicative of a lot of those older movies, but it's very sharp sounding. Meaning, when the screams are loud, it fucking kind of hurts your ears. I don't know what that is. I know that nowadays, it's just not as hard on the ears. And I think that in a lot of ways, watching it, you know, listening to you know, all the noises in this movie and all the screeching. There's a lot of screeching. It was kind of off-putting. Did you guys get that at all?
You mentioned while we were watching it, you were like, they have a different tone of voice than what we have now.
Right. It's the sound. Like, and a lot of older movies have it, but in some movies, it's more predominant than others. And I don't know, for this movie on this watch, it felt like this is one of those movies. No?
It makes it more creepy, and for me personally, it makes it more creepy to me, and it's just, it's the time, but for me, it's part of the charm of movies from that period. I happen to like that. I could see
right.
how other people may not, but I happen to, I would prefer that style
okay.
over modern, but that's just me.
Oh, no, and I'll say this, though. I'm kind of a little fucking hypocrite here, because, like, in something like Texas Chainsaw, it's mm-hmm. like that kind of sound, that's like the perfect example of it. It works. But for some reason for this one, it just kind of, I don't know, it bothered me. But maybe I'm just getting older and grumpy.
You know what didn't bother me?
Shakes fist at Black Christmas.
You know what didn't bother me?
Or Shakes Moods penis or whatever. Whatever they do over there.
Wow, okay. what didn't bother me was the fat bitch dying.
The fat bitch.
Mrs.
I love the character names that Lacey Liu.
Oh,
so the fat bitch dies at the scene.
This is not a politically correct podcast, and I don't give a fuck.
Not till the third part.
We're talking about characters, and this was... well, it's not going to be politically correct then either.
Oh, we're going off the rails on that one.
I was, all right, so you know there's always a certain character in a horror movie that you're rooting for to die.
Yes.
Us as horror fans, we do root for people to die.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's kind
of
like,
it, like
the guy from the Friday 13th reboot.
Yes.
What was his fucking name?
Trent,
yes. Like, you're rooting for that guy to die.
Right.
In this film, I am rooting for, you know, this fat bitch to die. I mean, she's always blaming everything on her cat, like...
Right.
She's like, Claude, and then, like, I'm sorry, like, she climbs up to the attic, right, looking for Claude, and so she's up in the attic, and then she sees, you know, Baghead, and she somehow does, like, a slow take, like, over to where, you know, Billy is holding the hook, and, like, she sees him, like, she did the slow take, like, so she knows, like, obviously to look in her peripheral,
right,
and she sees the hook. That bitch had plenty of fucking time to move.
Oh, he was aiming that thing. He was lining it up. He's like, all right, you fatty.
She had plenty of time to move.
Absolutely.
She had plenty of time to move. So I have no sympathy for this death at all. I mean, maybe her reflexes were a little bit shortened because of her, you know, losing a book, but...
The first person POV
drunk.
It was pretty cool.
I still think she had... Still feel like she had time to move, and I didn't like her as a person.
Right.
So I mean,
right.
as fun as she was to watch, I was like, I cannot wait to see how this bitch dies.
Right.
I like her kill though. I like the kill.
Oh yeah, that kill.
And
was
the best part though is like somehow the hook had like magic levitating powers
mm-hmm.
because all of a sudden like it shows like her legs hanging and like you see it like lift her up as soon as that like it the hook hits her.
Makes sense.
Like it levitated her up
like Santa through the chimney.
I like it though. It's
I think that's the best death in the film.
Yeah. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
More than the unicorn scene? Wow.
Yeah, the unicorn one is pretty classic.
I love it. It's like a giallo. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Mario Kiddo, so.
Right.
I think she deserved better.
Right.
Better? Sure. Wow, I think it's the best death. I don't know, but again, it's just, it's a matter of opinion. It's stylistically shot, and it's interesting to see that used as a weapon. Who would think that, okay, a glass unicorn and the horn from it, and you're going to get fucking stabbed to death with it. I just think it's a cool implement of murder. I don't know.
Well, let's get into her death then. So, obviously, okay, so, like, she's a drunken. I love how, like, there's a wreath, and, you know, it just has, like, booze on the wreath.
Well, I said that. I was like, is that Margot Kidder's room?
Yes. I actually loved her character. Like, I feel like she was the most relatable.
Yeah, I will say, though, that thing at the police station, which you guys spoke of, and the fact that she's just completely trashed while all this is going on, it's just slightly off-putting.
Right.
Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, come on. Get serious for a second here, Lois.
She's smoking, like, the entire film, and then, like, obviously, like, she has, like, an asthma inhaler. Like,
right.
When she's having, like,
right.
A bad... That makes no fucking sense.
That kind of does.
That's
kind of funny.
No, that's the stupidest part of the entire movie for me. Like, no. Okay, so, obviously, that either means that, like, hey, I go against the grain even though I got asthma, I'm a badass bitch. So, that's why, if they're going with that angle, she deserved a better death. Like, let's just suffocate you quickly.
Right.
You know, because, like, obviously, like, you're leading into the part where we have trouble breathing.
Right.
Like, give it to the point to where, like, she suffocates to death or something like that.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Like, make her crawl for her inhaler.
But let me ask you a question. So, a situation like that, right? So, we basically give this movie a pass in a lot of instances. Is this an instance where, like you said earlier, it's good enough, yeah, but because, you know, it's an originator and because it's such an OG of setting up these type of situations, do you kind of give something like that a pass, or do you look at it like, no, that just doesn't work? Like, I've seen it done better in movies that actually got it right.
Whoa. Dave agrees with the death, like, he likes the death. I thought that, you know, for her being, I thought she was, you know, the lead when it was all starting.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because this movie and the one later that we're going to review,
it's not so clear cut.
It's kind of vague. Do you think that not making it very clear who the lead is intentional, Dave?
In this movie? I just think it's one of those movies where she's showcased the most in the beginning, but it doesn't take that long before we... Like, she's a one-dimensional character, right?
Right.
But she's on the screen a lot, especially in the first, like, 15 minutes, because she's the only one that has the balls to freaking badmouth the caller and everything. But after the dust settles from that scene, it appears to me that if we're really getting into somebody's life, it's got to be Jess. I mean, all we know Margot Kidder as is this lush, and then she has the one phone call with her mother, and obviously it's not a good relationship because she calls her a real gold-plated whore.
this actually brings up a good point, though, right? Okay, so in 1996, apparently the rules were established by Wes Craven and Kevin Williamson with the rules of dying. In a horror movie, the three rules were, and you consider this the OG, you know, slasher film, right, Dave?
Yeah, I do.
All right, so you can never drink or have sex. So, so Margot Kidder drinks,
right. Clearly.
So that's why she died. But then the other two don't kind of fall into the category for this. So am I making any sense or no?
Well, yeah, but you're making sense from that point of view. But I always had an issue. That was something that they did, which was kind of prevalent in the slashers that kind of came later on. Like, if you look at, I mean, it's almost like people always say the black person dies first. If you look at the movies, not necessarily. The black person usually dies in a slasher. Rarely is it first. But it's almost like it takes on like an urban legend thing. So I think, right? Like, when they did Scream and they said those things, And they also did it again later on with Cabin in the Woods. There's some truth to that, but it isn't, like, look at Friday the 13th. Obviously, she was drinking, she was smoking weed. It was alluded to
she
that
was smoking weed.
You know, she had had some sex. At least that's the way it appeared. That she, I don't know. It's insinuated maybe that she was sleeping with, you know, creepy old guy. You know what I mean? It's just that I don't think that even in Friday 2 and then Halloween. I mean, Halloween 1, I think because of Laurie Strode's character. But then again, Laurie Strode fucking smoked a joint. You know,
she did.
Yeah, in the car, you know, yeah, when Annie comes and picks her up, or not Annie, when they take the ride, and don't fear the Reapers playing in the background, and they're driving around getting high, and Michael follows them.
Yep.
Yeah, they pass.
So the rules are bullshit.
Yeah, the rules are, the thing is this.
Well.
As slashers continued on in the 80s, you started seeing more and more of that, you know, because obviously, what do kids do? Kids fuck, and kids do drugs. Of course, that's what they do when they're hanging out, and they're in slasher movies, so of course they're going to get killed. And a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times, the most pure girl ended up being the final girl. But it's like they said, they survived because they're not as distracted as the other girls by the drugs and the sex, but
okay. They're
not necessarily virgins, and they're not necessarily, okay. They don't drink or smoke at all.
So I have a question for you, Dave.
All right.
What would you say is the number one rule not to do if you're going to survive a horror movie? Like, what is it going to be that's going to kill you if you do it? The number one thing that you're guaranteed to die.
Well, I'll tell you what. We've seen people have sex survive. We've seen people get high survive. I'll tell you what. Okay, this is if you do any drug besides marijuana, you're dead. Nobody's ever done coke. Or fucking anything else and survive. Although the girl in Part 8 did heroin, but it was against her will. But
no. Right, yeah.
In which film?
Yeah, they injected her with heroin in Part 8.
Yeah.
And the black guy died in that one as well. I think with the black guy thing though.
Friday?
Part 8.
Just Manhattan. Yeah.
But the thing with that is, I think they mean, you know, he's usually not like one of the final people. You know.
Right. We know that. Right.
Right. Exactly. Now, here's the thing, too, though. While this was an OG, I don't feel like this is necessarily indicative of slashers in general. Like we were just talking about. Those are the slashers that everybody kind of relates those Scream rules to, you know? And while some kind of apply to this movie, this isn't like the Bible by any stretch of the imagination. Shit, we even talked earlier in the show that a lot of people don't even know this movie exists or it is the OG. So, and I didn't even know that it wasn't the OG until Dave mentioned another movie before that. So, yeah. But I think that this movie is so... It's very, you can tell that there's certain aspects where they were kind of leading the way. You know, the first person POV aspect.
Phone calls.
If you, that too, we're going to get to that in a second.
That's great.
Yeah. The phone calls themselves were so fucking creepy. And let's talk about that because when a stranger calls... which was what, a couple years
later?
You said
79.
Yes.
Yep.
That's what that movie's known from. They fucking did it in this movie. What do you mean?
Right.
It was an urban legend.
Yep.
Right. The thing is, it was something that was passed around, like the ghost story about the guy with the hook and the urban legend stories and the person putting their hand under the bed and letting the dog lick it, but it was really the killer.
Oh, that freaks me out, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
That freaks me out the most out of any urban legend. I'm not kidding.
Me too. Holy shit, that's always bugged me. Yeah,
that's the number one urban legend that freaks me out the most.
Oh, but I mean, that shit... is scary, but I mean this story about the phone calls coming from inside the house, that was something that had been passed around as a story before the movie Black Christmas, but Black Christmas did do it on film first, so they have to get the props for it.
Right, exactly. And in a scene with fucking the OG himself, John Saxon, which is way before Nightmare. Shit, this is like a bunch of years before.
10 years before. Exactly.
That's crazy to me. He
looks the same.
He was doing his thing like an OG. The way it was delivered, though, I'll
Rest
say
in
this.
Peace.
Yeah. Yeah. With that bumbling side cop that initially didn't take that girl seriously or whatever.
They never do in horror movies.
Well, but so with that whole exchange and how they got across the fact that the calls were coming in front inside the house, could it have been done better? And did they do it better in When a Stranger Calls? That's debatable. But the fact that they did it years before, and like you said, it's an urban legend. Like, that's a OG story to begin with. I think that that's great. I thought that in this movie it was pretty effective. I do feel like it was slightly more effective in When a Stranger Calls, but I also feel like When a Stranger Calls is an extremely boring movie, and especially compared to
When a Stranger Calls Back is better, in my opinion. But actually,
he fucking paints his face.
Yes, to match the bricks. That freaks me the fuck out.
That is a dope movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't know people liked that movie, but
I love it.
That movie
is overlooked.
No, but originally...
Wow. What a weirdo.
Originally, Bob Clark didn't want to do, you know, just basic teenagers. He thought that he wanted to put them in a college atmosphere. It was going to be... you know, kind of based off of Babysitter Killers kind of thing. Yeah.
You serious,
yeah,
Clark?
Yeah, I'm serious, Clark. it really was going to be. And then he was like, you know, college students are more astute. They kind of know what they want more. So let's put them in that kind of setting as opposed to high school.
Right.
He's like, let's, you know, do this as opposed to that.
It does feel more cultured, a little bit more open.
They are more sophisticated.
Correct. Those jackets,
they know the word fellatio.
Right, fellatio.
They're ahead of the game.
Well,
the phone call thing is, check it out, though. About the phone call,
yeah.
There's a problem in this movie with the phone call. Where When a Stranger Calls, it worked perfectly. The problem with When a Stranger Calls as a movie is that scene should have been saved for the end of the movie instead of it being at the beginning. But either way, it's executed better overall in that scene, the way it's done there. The problem with this movie is that the cops come to the house and somebody even says, they tip their hand, they show their hand. They say the house mother has another line in her room. They say it. Fucking in the middle of a movie. So check it. When I watched this movie in the 80s for the first time, I had a friend that 90% of the time I rented, it was with this guy. It was sometimes me, him, and someone else. Sometimes me, him, and four other guys. But he was almost always there. My buddy Scott, we're still best friends to this day. Okay.
Nice.
Me and him watched this movie in the 80s and didn't remember it. Okay, I started seeing in the early 2000s when message boards started and people were talking about horror. People were blowing this movie, Black Christmas, and I'm like, I don't remember it. It was just another movie that came and went. So I had my friend Scott come around, and we bought Black Christmas, and we watched it. And as we're watching it, they mention midway through the movie that the house mother has a separate line in his room. He immediately turns to me and says, well, that's where the phone calls are coming from, right?
Oh, wow.
As a seasoned watcher of horror movies. So I'm like, okay, makes perfect sense. And I'm like, yeah, probably. You know, and that's what it was. But I mean, they should not have put that in there because it's just, they give it away. Not to everybody, but I mean, and When a Stranger Calls, you're taken by complete surprise. Is it a cheat? I don't know, maybe. But I think it works better. I'm agreeing with you, Dan, that you said it was better.
And I'll say this about one aspect of when the cops are saying, hey, you got to keep them on the line, you know, and you see so many movies do this. You got to keep them on the line for 1 minute. We got to trace the call. That in real life has never been a thing. Like it never takes like you. It's like a caller ID. You either automatically have it or you don't.
Wait a minute. Like, I'm sorry to say this. Hold on. Do you know this for a fact? Because if...
That's a fact, Dave.
Because let me tell you what happened to me. It happened to me in the 80s.
That was the coke.
I'm telling you. We had a prank phone caller calling. We had two lines in my house. My father had one and my mother had another. So my mother's line, which is basically everybody's line, but so if somebody called me, that's the line. Nobody called my father's phone except people from my father. Okay. So my mother's line was getting pranked for like 2 months. So we ended up having to go to get the calls traced. And what they told us at the time, the cops, was that they go, you have to keep them online for over a minute. Otherwise, we can't trace the call. So either the cops were bullshitting us for some reason, or you're misinformed, or I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. But I for a fact, that happened to me, that they told us that, the cops did, or the telephone people. Whoever the fuck told my parents, we were told if somebody calls, try to keep them on for as long as possible because it's you get a trace better that way or something.
You know,
talk amongst yourself. I'm going to Google it.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
You know, actually, one of the most creepy things that ever happened. All right, so my grandma's house was known to be haunted, right? So,
oh, we know. We found out a few episodes.
Yeah, you did. When my uncle guest starred on The Midnight Hour. Have you seen that movie, Dave?
A long time ago.
Yeah. Well, we did like the question segment or whatever, and we talked about my grandma's house being haunted.
Mm-hmm, I heard.
But like, oh, you listened to that. You've said you listened to all.
Yeah.
But yeah, so one of the creepy things that happened. So like things would subside, right? Like things subsided and creepy things stopped happening. However, my family was, like, very religious after that experience, and so they started to do, like, table reading Bible studies, and so every Sunday they would do Bible study, and they would just, you know, read around the glass table, you know, like, Bible verses. It was, like, their version of church, kind of, and every Sunday when they would be reading around Bible study, obscene callers, like, you know, the pretty pink kind of calls would happen. And, like, they would say that they were going to kill her family. You know, just very obscene, like, I'm jerking my dick. Like, things like that would happen. I was a little kid. And I remember, you know, the look of my grandma's face when these calls would happen as we're sitting around Bible study. I was, like, five, you know? It's crazy.
That's scary. Yeah.
All right, I looked that up. All right, so we were both kind of right. So now it says as soon as the call is placed, it can be tracked and traced to where it's being originated. Back in the bell-bottom pre-digital 1970s, telephone switchboards required operators to manually connect circuits, leaving the cops to cool their heels for 10 or 20 minutes while they pinpointed the caller's location. That first 60 seconds might only get operators the first or second switching stations, hence the old keep him talking chief gambit. So what they're saying
is now we're in a digital age where they can pinpoint that. So you were wrong when you said that.
But aren't you glad we talked about it?
Yeah. The more you know.
Exactly.
And that's the problem with this movie.
The more you know, rainbow sign.
Absolutely. That's the thing with this movie. There are two things that bring this movie down as far as pacing. The beginning stuff, there's a little too much stuff with the lady, with the house mother. And there's a little, and it takes a little bit too long. I guess maybe it's supposed to be suspenseful, but I think that they play that card a little too strongly. There's too much of that running around and getting the call and this and that and then the station and the cops. It just, for me, that's just my opinion on it. I think there's a couple things that bring the movie down, and but they do. That's why it's not a 10 out of 10 movie for me, you know?
Right.
Dave, out of the three films, this has actually been quite a hot topic on our Christmas episodes thus far.
Yes.
It has to do with carolers.
Oh, yes.
And this is actually the only one out of the three that has carolers. Which is very kind of, you know, carolers are very Christmas spirity, but are they a fact or a myth?
Well, Jingle All the Way had it.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, out of all the Black Christmases.
No, like, I have never actually experienced a Christmas carol. Or you have never. You've said you were a Christmas carol because you're a liar. But
I wasn't, Dave.
But that's She's the thing. Right. Have you ever had Christmas carolers come to your house, Dave?
Yes, I have. I've had Christmas carolers. Yeah, when I was a kid in my parents' neighborhood, which I only live 5 minutes from right now.
Recently?
You know, I'd have to ask my wife. We might have had somebody come here. My memory of anything after the age of, like, 20, I don't remember shit.
Last year, Dave, did you have carolers come to your house?
Did they wear masks?
I don't know if they came last year. I can ask my wife if they came since we've been here, and the answer may be yes, but not. I don't know, but I know for a fact when I was a kid, they came. I definitely had not every year.
Carolers are not a myth. They are.
No, of course they're not a myth. I think it was much bigger in the 70s and 80s than it is nowadays, sadly. But you know,
considering what Jess was going through at that certain point in time in the movie, she sat there and listened to those carolers for a really long fucking time.
Yeah, she just zoned out for a second there.
You have to.
She's like, carolers, there's somebody in the house, but I'm going to stay here and listen to you talk.
But I do also think, though, that kind of was a moment for her where she did realize, whether, I don't know what that decision was one way or another, she got either clarity or she had a moment of peace about that whole abortion situation as well. That's what I kind of took from that.
Well, let's actually get into the ending on this one.
Okay.
You know, because we're right
You're
there.
You're like, yeah, baby, fuck your point. We're going to go over to something else.
Well, we don't want to hear Dan talk about
That's
abortion.
That's all right. It was a dumb point anyways.
I was texting my wife asking her if we had read Christmas carolers, so I was distracted.
No, you're all good. One thing that obviously if you've listened to me and, you know, when it comes to horror movies, especially like the slasher genre, I hate off-screen kills.
You're not a fan of off-screen kills.
No, and I really hate it when I don't see a kill and then all of a sudden a dead body just shows up and I'm like, oh, that's what happened to that character. But I didn't get to actually see what happened to that character.
So you love this movie.
No. I mean, that happened at least with two characters' deaths.
Now,
I'm thinking of right off the top of my head.
Now, let me ask you a question. This is before, you know, the Tom Savini heydays and all those mm-hmm. types of things where the kills kind of became the centerpiece. So do you think that it was, a financial thing, or do you think that just wasn't a thing yet?
I don't think it was a thing.
Right? Maybe. Yeah.
It was a stylistic choice.
Yep. Right on. Yeah, because stuff like that, though.
But I don't like it.
I agree with you, Lacey. I don't like it either. I can't stand. But I would. Okay, here's the question. Would you rather have a kill where you see somebody walk in a room and let's say maybe you see an axe swung at them and then it cuts away and then later on you see them dead with no gore, maybe a little blood? Or would you rather just see them like it happened in this movie that you don't know how they were killed at all and later on she shows up in a bed with somebody else all bloody?
Absolutely.
No, not that one. The first one.
The axe, for
yeah,
sure.
I hate
the
first
something.
One. Yeah. I get mad that I don't, because I'm like, okay, you're showing that an axe is coming down. You're hinting that I'm going to see a fucking beheading.
But the fact that I know that they fucking died is way better than just like, oh, they fucking died? What do you mean? I didn't see, I don't know any context. Like, I don't even, like, I can't even imagine it.
Yeah.
True. But the gore hound in me just gets mad. When I see a weapon, I'm like, oh, that's going to be a good kill. Here's something. And then...
Well, you should be even more mad that you just see, like, their sliced up body. But, and, like, you know they had a good death, but now...
But that's the thing, though. That's one of those, like, pulpy things that I feel like the slashers kind of developed as they went on. Where, yeah, we're all spoiled to that now. We want to see fucking an arrow go through Kevin Bacon or whatever the fuck.
Well, it's
that
like
was.
Scream 3 with, you know, Roman in the casket. Like, what? We didn't see him die. So now, like, now if you don't see them die, it's all a red herring.
That always made me so mad.
But,
they went out of their way to check
But the
his
fact
purse.
That that happened.
Yeah, it's me too.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but the fact that happened, though, it's like all now a red herring when you don't see an off-screen kill.
Totally.
Like, it's. They could easily be
automatically,
killer.
Right?
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
So that did change the game in an aspect.
Well, and it's also like the trust in the filmmakers too of like, are they going to pull a swerve like that? You know what I mean? And I find honestly stuff like that offensive. And if you're gonna do shit like that,
I find
that,
it offensive.
Well, no, if you're
you
not
offensive.
Gonna pay it off though, if you're not gonna pay that off, then absolutely, because it kind of it not only undermines you, but it tries and tricks you in a way where it's not really tricking you. It's just kind of pulling the rug from underneath you as opposed to being like, hey, this is a clever twist. It's like a, hey, fuck you. You didn't see that one coming, did you, buddy?
Like, you sound like your mother there. Okay, fuck you.
No, I'll be honest with you. Overall, I gotta give this movie its respect. I just, it's not one of my favorites. It's probably not one that I'll go back to anytime soon.
You did say you liked the ending, though.
I did like the ending. I really did. I thought that it definitely, the part that she's referring to is the fact that, yeah, like, they basically set that guy up and Billy never got caught. Now, when I watched it the first time, I probably fell asleep. I don't remember the ending, whatever. I did not realize that going in, that, like, he completely got away with it. There's even a cop outside, and then there's that shot, obviously, where it pans out from the window, mm-hmm. where Billy is clearly still fucking up there.
Like, they're not going to check the fucking attic?
I'm surprised.
Thank you.
Might as well be the cops from fucking Last House on the West.
I'm fucking stupid. Like, yep, I'm sorry. Stupid. I hate the ending of this film. I hate the ending of this film.
Well, listen, I get that part. I didn't know that they didn't catch him, and I didn't know that another guy took the fall for it. And then with that ending shot, it felt very eerie. And it's one of those shots in horror movies where it's like, oh, fuck. Like, it just hits you a certain way, and it's like, that's creepy. And I was surprised that in the last shot of this movie, that's actually one that really stuck with me. And like I said, I'll give
where
it...
where it's, like, zooming out with the plastic mask face.
Yeah, oh,
the music comes on. Oh,
yeah, and then it shows the cop, like, right there and sitting there, like, basically right under his nose. I just thought it was like, oh, wow. And you know, on paper, it's like, that shouldn't be that effective. But I don't know, in that moment, like, for me, it was.
Well, let's get into your rating then.
Okay. I'll be honest with you. This is where it gets tough. If you want to talk rating, you're talking automatically about how much this movie being an OG affects its rating, as opposed to how I truly feel about it, just objectively coming in, not factoring that in at all. I would say that it's between a 3.5 and a 4. In this moment, I would say 3.5, Black Christmas.
All right, what about you, Dave Z?
All right, well, I'll tell you, I've come a long way on it. And I was able to explain some things this time that I figured out that last time and every other time, the problems that I had, Lacey, I got to give you props because you're the only person ever, besides me, to bring up that point that why didn't they check the freaking attic when they
right?
already
oh,
had
right
more
now.
Bodies?
Yeah.
No one ever
ended that way.
Yes, everybody's so blown away by the swerve and this and the phone ringing at the end. The killer's still out there. And I always saw it as cheap as well because of that. I'm like, well, wait a minute. To me, I used to think that every single sign pointed to Peter being the killer, especially the end, because I used to say, until this very time, I figured it out finally, but I used to say, why the hell would Peter go to the freaking basement door and smash it in and do all that stuff if he's not the killer? What reason would he have to do that? And this time I finally figured it out. He says that he heard her yelling. So she was upstairs, and she was yelling in the doorway with a door.
Yeah.
But they teased twice throughout the film that there was problems with that door. So you hear a door open. What you hear is the outside door, because there's two doors. There's like a doorway right. and an alcove or whatever the hell it's called, the vestibule, and then the freaking the way in. So you hear the first door open and only hear one door. Apparently, this is what I figured out, that Peter tried to get in the door, heard that she was screaming, the door was jammed, he couldn't get in, so that's why he went to the basement to look for her, and then he saw somebody, and then he smashed a window to come in because he was concerned for her safety. So after 12 views, I finally... Dude, I've been questioning this for years.
That makes sense.
And nobody's ever told me, wait a minute, Dave, you're wrong. This happened because I had to figure it out my damn self. So I figured it out finally. So I've gone up. I still don't think it makes any sense that the cops don't look in the fucking house, especially when they know that there's another number in the house. And, hey, there's still two missing people. Let's go look.
Right.
But I used to say it was a missed opportunity because of things like that, but I've made most of it right. I think there's some amazing scenes. The eyeball scene when he's looking is iconic. The POV. Yeah. Some of the things in this film are done really, really well stylistically and everything else. So I have come up a year ago, and all prior to that, I would have said a 4. I'm now up to a 4.5 out of 5.
Nice, dude. Right on, bro.
I really like it. Yeah.
Hell yeah. How about you, Lacey Lou?
Well, obviously, this is like my first full-time watch of it, so it's probably going to take me a little while to come around on it. However, there were things that I did appreciate because I noticed a lot of things in this film that were taken from inspiration from films that I love.
Right.
You know, and so for that, I mean, I really hated the ending, and I felt the film is really fucking boring. It's a hard watch for me. It was a hard, like,
it's a lot of talking.
I loved Margot Kidder, though. Like, she's the highlight for me on this. I loved her character. Like, I know that, you know, maybe necessarily you guys don't like her, but I liked her.
No, can I be honest with you? Growing up with the Superman movies, like, that was Lois Lane, and I really dug her in terms of, like, that aspect of it. Like, it was fun to watch her do her thing. She had this crazy, you know, breakdown at one point, too, with the mental health system. And then, you know, in Rob Zombie's movie, when she came back, like, her story is very unique. That I've always thought that she was always very interesting to watch. So I agree with you there, baby.
Yeah, no, she was definitely the highlight for me. Like, I love when she's telling him off on the phone. Like, I feel like that's something I would do. Like, I'm not.
That was definitely you.
Like, I'm like, and you know, like, she's smoking in the police station. Like, she is just who she is.
Right.
And I feel like her death did not match her character. And
she deserved, like, a better death, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, but I know you liked it, but, like, she's just in her bed and she's alone and, like, it's sad. I get it, but I don't at the same time. Like, I felt like she was a fighter. I mean, she's the one that's standing up to him over the phone. Like, she's not a pussy. Like,
but instead, obviously she got drunk.
Sick. Yeah. No, obviously she's sick. She can't, like, she's having problems breathing. Like, I feel like she would have been the one that you would see fight the killer.
Totally. I thought that she was the main character.
And so I was pretty disappointed. Like, I know you like the death and, you know, the unicorn statue or whatever, but I was disappointed with it. Like, there was no fight or flight. Like, it was just die.
I thought she was going to be, good like, the Tatum of this movie. Like, the best friend that, yeah, she's like, she parties
or whatever.
I thought
she was the main star.
But, yeah, same. So did I.
I didn't feel like she was a Tatum. I felt like she was the main star.
And the other one, for sure.
Well, I mean, nobody wants to see the blind bitch from It.
But here's one thing, though. I did find it kind of vague. If it wasn't for that abortion sideline, that kind of cemented it for me. Because I was like, she's the only one.
She has a plot story.
Right. And other than that, though, it is very tough. You know, it's very tough to decide who's the main character. I don't know if that, in the end, affects my rating one way or another. I don't know if, like, you have to have, you know, one final girl predominantly, you know, no questions asked for it to be a good slasher movie. I just know that in this particular movie, it didn't really work.
Is this your rating or mine?
Sorry, baby.
Like, I'm just bringing up points that you want to talk about, right?
Good. Sorry.
I love you.
You're
so
right,
much.
Though, Lacey. It's a good point. Because she should have been the one to fight. I never thought about it from that aspect. Given her character, you would think that she would be a fighter. And they should have saved that kill for somebody else, like Phil or something. You're right. I love the kill for what it is. It reminds me of a giallo kill. It's stylistic. I like the weapon, the murder weapon. I like all that. But listening to you, you made a very good point. She would have been the person that would put up a fight. So I get what you're saying. Yeah.
All right, so for the ending of the film, I know a lot of people like the ending and they like the ambiguity. For me, I do like sometimes when there is no backstory and there is no motive. However, there is literally nothing to go by in this movie, period. Like, nothing. Like, Billy's just like, I'm just in your attic and I'm here to fuck up the day. Like, it's a worse ending and, you know, character backstory than fucking Ben Willis and I Know What You Did Last Summer. I hate that ending. I hate that. I'm just not a fan of it. Like, I wish there had been more rhyme or reason, like, aside from just some crazy dude.
You wanted something, right?
Just a little bit of something. Right. Like, there is no backstory, period. Like, I get it. People like it. I don't. I also don't like the fact, I feel like this should have been more of, they had such a great setup with a centralized location,
mm-hmm.
you know, being the sorority house. Right. I wish it had all taken place there.
Right.
I mean, there was a lot of, you know, the conversations that were had at, you know, the hockey rink with, you know, Jess and Peter was his name.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that could have taken place there. As opposed to, you know, going to the hockey rink.
Right.
You know, the police station, there again and back again. Like, the house mom going into the car, like, getting out of the car. Like, I mean, I get it, but at the same time, I feel like this is the type of film that screams that it needs to be in a centralized location because
yeah.
that house is cool as fuck.
That's a very good point.
And I think there could have been a lot more things done with it.
It would have added to the atmosphere, too. With the claustrophobicness and with the storm and the snow and all that, yeah.
I just feel like, yeah, I think there that it would have been a lot more scary and more tense. Like the killer is calling from inside the house, like, the entire time. Like, is it... So did he, like, stay there the entire time when they were going to the cops? Like, who really cares at that point in time? You know,
right,
like, those
right.
moments don't matter. Like, it needs to be centralized for me. So for that, it's a 3 out of 5. I know
oh.
it. I know that it's, like, an OG.
Okay.
But for me, personally, on an enjoyment level,
right.
I think it's boring.
But it's funny, though, that that's, like, the deciding factor for all of us, too. It's, like, how much does that factor in?
Yeah, it wasn't centralized enough. It didn't focus and hone in on enough of a character story that made me care about these people. Margot Kidder's death, I think, should have, you know, there was no fight or flight between any of these characters.
Right.
Like,
right.
there was nothing. It was, you know, it's kind of like when you watch a reality show and it's two teams pitted against each other and one team just dominates the entire season. Like, I don't like that. I don't like seeing the killer just dominate the entire movie. There was no fight or flight.
Right, absolutely.
You know, see, and we can all agree on this, and I'm so glad to come on here and have you guys have this take on it, because a lot of people would take this movie, and they'll put it above movies like Halloween and Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street and Elm Scream, even. I mean, everything. And I don't see it. I think it's a great, like I said, it was like my number, officially I looked at it, it was my number 22 slasher of all time. And it's still rare error if you're making a big list, but I'm like, I think it's great. I've never felt that it was on the level of those ones. I think people put it up there because it was quote unquote the first of its kind, and it was, you know, it's kind of our little secret, kind of like how I was
right.
saying before about Christmas Story, how when it became
yep.
bigger
yep.
you know what I mean,
yep.
I think that people feel that way about this movie. Okay, this is the horror, this is the true horror fans movie, so I'm gonna say it's the greatest thing ever because of that, you know what I mean? And I think
all
that
right.
figures into it, but whatever, at least everyone likes it.
All right, so with that, we are going to get into the next film of this. Is it a franchise? Would you guys call it a franchise at this point? I mean, there's three of them. I mean, it's not like sequel. It's just like movie remake.
Yeah, when you
like,
talk about a movie being remade over and over, because see, here's the thing, though. The argument would be this, that the third one that we're about to cover in a little bit is not even a remake. They just share the same name.
Well, no, we'll get into that.
Okay. It doesn't even closely resemble the other two, though.
We'll get into that.
Okay. So, these two, though, I would say, yes, you can consider something a franchise if it's not necessarily a sequel.
It's
but
two or more.
Yeah. It's a well, retelling. It's their own version of the same story.
Well,
basically.
I actually consider, I know a lot of people disagree with me, but I consider a franchise if it's one or more.
One or more?
Yeah.
Okay.
One or more films?
Does it have to be two or more?
I'm saying for me.
So, what do you mean? So
if it's one or more film, or like, if it's... All right,
so if it's
two
one,
or
no.
more. Right, okay,
okay,
I get what you mean. Right. But yeah, so if it's... All right, I'm going to... That's my best. that's as bad as Dan thinking Carrie Fisher was in.
Now we're even. Yeah. Now we're both stupid.
So I'm next. I'm next.
Yeah Dave, where's your fucking stupid vote?
They're coming. Believe me. Believe me, it's coming. I'll tell you what. Do you think that The Shining is a franchise then? Because you have The Shining and Dr. Sleep?
Yeah, technically, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I mean, and it's what, got what that else
Treehouse
you,
of Horror episode.
What else do you call it, though?
I'm weird. I don't even consider this a franchise because it's a remake and another.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's that. Like, what do you call it?
Three movies called Black Christmas. I just don't. But again, it's just opinion or personal preference. I don't like to include remakes in the franchise. I mean, I guess technically they are, but when I think of a franchise. I think of sequels. I think of part one and part two and some type of continuation.
And I get you 100%. I do.
And also, too, I want to bring up this fact, and we come back to this often, it seems, especially as of late. But when you talk about when people, you know, get really, you know, heated in these debates as to what to categorize something, I think that we're all pretty much on the same – we're all pretty much in the same mindset that it's like – who the fuck cares what you call it? Like, even trying to pigeon...
Let's just enjoy it?
Yeah, it would never come into play other than where to categorize it in your fucking movie library. That's it. That's it.
Well, is there any other film that there is no direct sequel, but it's just remake?
Any other film with no direct sequel that should...
Maniac.
Oh, you mean they went to bat three times with the same movie?
Yes, three times. Maniac's only one. Yeah, like it's right. Not just a standoff. It's
maybe the Day of the Dead movies. Didn't they do a couple more of those? But they're not really
Robin
sequels.
Hood,
what
Benny
are they?
Tight.
But at the same, what are you talking about?
It's a Robin Hood reiteration with Dave Chappelle and Dr. Gordon, who's in this third movie that we're going to review.
Yeah, Dr. Gordon.
Dr. Gordon. All right, and now it's come to that time of the episode where we get into the mid-2000s. 2006, to be exact. I actually graduated high school that year.
Did you really?
Yes.
Wow.
With honors. Thank you. So I'm going to read the plot synopsis from IMDb for Black Xmas. So it's not even, like, it's not even called Black Christmas. It's actually Black Xmas.
Now, I wonder why that is, because
Bob Clark produced it.
Right. If he produced it, then I don't see why it being Black Christmas would be an issue, them taking the exact name. I don't know. That's a little weird. I didn't know it was Black Xmas, technically.
It is literally Black Xmas.
It's marketed as Black Xmas on posters and things like that. But officially, it still is considered Black Christmas spelled out. Like, if you go to, like, IMDb or fucking any of those places, it's not going to say Black Xmas. It's going to say Christmas. But
which do you like better, Dave?
Well, I understand them going with the Xmas just to be different, and it was something at the time.
Right.
So, I actually, you know, I prefer to be Black Xmas just in this case only.
Right.
Because it's not like the first one. And it's,
right.
It's just it's its own thing, so why not do that?
Now, what did you think of him producing? At what level do you think he really had an involvement? Was it just, I'm an executive producer because obviously this is, you know, based on a movie that I did? Or do you think he was really involved?
Bob Clark you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
He was involved.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I read about it as we're prepping for the show. But yeah, okay. He was definitely involved to some degree.
That's crazy, because they are such different movies.
Like, it's not like one of those things where you take the name from the previous film. And,
sometimes it's just a name
thing. He was actually involved in this. Yeah, like, he signed off on everything. So.
I can't believe that. How about you, Dave?
He got paid. It's just like John Carpenter said. He goes, fuck, you think he gave a shit about Rob Zombie's movie or when they remade The Fog?
So
he'll come right out and
care.
Say it.
Okay, yeah.
No, it's fucking, it's a paycheck. It's on my, you know?
Right.
I mean, shit, Bob Clark was doing, I think the last thing he did was like bullshit. He was doing like Baby Geniuses and Super Babies and fucking some TV movie about a karate dog or something.
A karate dog.
Oh, yeah. Karate Dog Saves Christmas. That's a good one.
You seen it?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's get into the IMDb plot synopsis of Black Xmas.
Say it one more time.
Black Xmas.
No, I am
IMDb?
Yes.
Did I not say it right?
You never do, and it's the most adorable thing ever.
Really? Do I always say IMDb?
IMBD.
IMBD. IMBD? No, I think that's you. I think that's a you thing.
Baby.
I think that's a you thing.
You say it on every episode.
What do I say? IMBD.
IMBD. I heard it. It's okay, IMBD. but when he put you on the spot, you said it right. That's what.
See? Matters. See? Dave got it correct.
I say IMBD.
The second time you said
it's
it correct.
IMDb.
The 99% correct. The other time. You never
it must be like a Floydian thing.
It's one
you
of
know
those.
Who else does that? I think Jeremy does that.
That would make complete sense.
Are you talking about, did you just compare me to Jeremy Freeman?
Well, he's Joe Milhouse. Bob. He's Milhouse, and who are you? Could you be Lisa Simpson? Is that okay?
I'm Lacey Charbet. Well, that's better than, being compared to Milhouse.
Yes, indeed. All right, baby, read the synopsis for 2006's...
From IMBD.
IMDb.
BD.
See, you said it
no,
right
I'm
again.
Talking with you.
No.
That's intentional.
You look
here's
so
how you remember it. I can make it so you never fuck it up again, okay?
Okay.
Do what I always say. It's the joke on exploding heads. IMDb. It's like a fucking guy calling himself a bee. IMDb. I'm going to sing.
IMDb.
IMBD.
IMBD.
Yeah.
I'm like a bee. I might sting you, but I won't. Hey, funny story, Dave. I once got attacked by a bunch of bees by one of the producers that produced Family Guy. So when it happened, all I could think of is, oh, I'm a bee.
Oh, hey. Y'all best be careful or I'm going to sting you with my stinger. Oh, no. But then that's going to die if I sting you. You know what? I'm not going to sting y'all after all. And that's my choice. Y'all ain't worth it. I'm just going to head on over to that flower and suck on that stamen like there's no tomorrow.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
How did you get attacked by bees from the people on Family Guy?
Okay, no. All right. So at the time when I was working on Cape Cod, one of the accounts we had is one of the main producers on all the Family Guy shows. It's not the main guy, Seth MacFarlane,
okay.
But he's one of the main producers on the show. So
do
he
bees
has,
at you?
He has pictures of it.
Oh, dude! They got my face, dude.
Oh my god!
So I remember I was weed whacking around the house and I definitely got attacked by bees and I definitely looked like Quasimodo. But
still look like Quasimodo.
Why? Thank you, baby.
Is that why?
that's my excuse. That's what I tell people.
I know.
All right. What does it say on IMDb?
It's BD.
IMDb.
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 See, like when I try to do it like normally, like he just did, it comes out like I'm foreign. IMDb.
Even better.
IMDb.
IMDb. All right. On Christmas Eve, an escaped maniac returns to his childhood home, which is now a sorority house, and begins to murder the sorority sisters one by one.
Well.
You're welcome. That was a different narration voice.
Yeah, they change every time, maybe. there's slight variations to
right,
all of them.
All right, before we get right into this, right away,
yes.
As we started to rewatch this, Dan goes, well, this is a direct sequel then, isn't it? Or an indirect sequel.
Listen, I say a lot of dumb shit.
Yeah, just like Carrie Fisher was in this.
If you would highlight all the dumb shit that I said every day, people would be astounded. And yes, that was one of them. Yes.
So do you still think it's a indirect sequel?
It is not a sequel. Absolutely not. No.
Okay.
No,
now,
this is a reimagining, and
now,
I say it's not a remake because it's definitely not. Like, they have their own backstory in this, they have their own side stories in this movie. This
barely.
Is so different in so many ways from the original.
Now, so obviously you guys know that when I first seen this, I thought it, I didn't know the original kind of existed.
Yeah.
So, Dave, you obviously did. So what were you thinking when this was being marketed?
The funny thing is when it was being marketed, it was still when I was kind of shitting on the original. So I was at least a little excited. I'm like, okay, maybe now they can do it better, was my
right.
first thought when the news broke. But then by the time it came out, and this was back in the days, I was still watching trailers back then, and I saw the trailer.
What is the last trailer you watched? I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
Say that again. You were doing what?
He was watching trailers.
Yes, that was a whole different lifestyle.
What is the last trailer you watched? I have to know.
I don't know the last trailer I watched, but I know the trailer that made me decide that I was probably going to stop, and that was for the first Conjuring. The first Conjuring, when they showed the clap game, when they showed the girl sitting there, and then the woman, and then the clap behind, and the scare, and I said, that's a fucking damn good scare. And now, that was like the straw that broke the camel's back, and I said, you know what? I said, I don't think I'm watching. And I don't know if I fell right then and there, and I said that was the day, but I basically say...
So how do you avoid them?
2013 was the last time. How do I... What do you, well...
Well, power.
Well, like, I mean, I mean,
like, you've gone to movie theater since, obviously, right?
Yeah, when I go in the movie theater, what I do is, number one, my earbuds go with me everywhere.
Yep.
I've been this way for fucking 20 years. Before earbuds, I had headphones. I don't go anywhere in public... Without the opportunity, if I hear shit I don't like, I want to cover it up and immediately.
Yep.
So my earbuds go with me everywhere. It's so easy now because, you know, I have freaking AirPods. So they're in my little pocket here. So, but if I go to a movie by myself, I will just bring the AirPods in with me, put them on, and luckily, not now, of course, because of the world we live in, but prior to all this happening, I had I go to AMC, and when you go to AMC and you're a member of the A-list, you can pick out your seats before you go in the movie. So if the movie starts at 4:45, I choose my seats, I get in there. I don't go in that fucking theater until maybe 4:58, because it's always 15 minutes worth of trailers.
Right.
So I try to
avoid. Have you ever missed an opening because of this?
No, I've not missed an opening because of it.
Oh, so you perfected this.
Well, when I go by myself, which is not all that much, but when I did, I perfected it in that aspect. But when I went with my wife and my daughter, they want to get a popcorn and an icy and everything else. So it takes a little more time with them. So I do go in them. If the movie starts at 4:30, I'm probably in there at like 4:20, and there are trailers. So what I do is, as soon as the trailer starts, I could tell it's a horror movie, like within like, you know, 10 minutes. So if I see it's a horror movie, I'll either put the earbuds in if I have them. Sometimes when I'm with
the kids. Do you close your eyes?
Well, yeah, I'm like a little kid. What I do is I plug my ears, one finger, index finger in each ear. I always have a hat on. I look down and I just hum to myself. And then when it's over, you know, my daughter or my wife will tap my hands.
Can you hum one more time, please?
Okay, hold on.
Hey, Dave, here's a little funny story, though, for somebody that we do watch trailers. Now, obviously, you know that there's been nothing new released in theaters. So it's like Groundhog Day. Every time we go in, we see the same...
Which is Morbius
with Jared Leto and...
That new Gal Gadot movie?
Yeah, the new Gal Gadot movie, the Wonder Woman trailer, the Ryan Reynolds trailer. And, dude, they've been playing for, like, 6 or 7 months
Yeah,
now.
It's all just the same
trailer. Like, the same... Like, so every time it comes on screen, we just die laughing because it's like, coming soon! Like,
and we could quote the trailer word for word.
You mean come in the VOD, motherfucker. Yeah. But, yeah,
So you've seen the trailer for this.
Yeah, I saw the trailer, and I knew that it wasn't going to be my cup of tea, and I said, I'm not going to watch this movie. And then it came out, and it pretty much got shit on by everybody. So I never watched it until 3 years ago. I finally said, I'll give this movie a try. And I watched it for the first time. So this is my second time.
Now, without giving away too much, general impressions.
General impression was this. The first time I said, well, I was really on board the first 45 minutes. I said, you know what? I don't know why everybody shits on this movie. It's not anywhere near as bad as I thought. And then on top of it, possibly the most attractive female cast I've ever seen in any slasher. So had that going for it.
That's because Dimension produced it, Harvey Weinstein. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a big thing, though. Like, if you look at this movie, especially when the girl is basically being, like, molested by Billy in the bed, the girl from Final Destination 3, there's a moment in all of the Dimension movies now where you get that creepy Harvey.
Oh,
Harvey Creek. Unsee it.
That sucks.
Absolutely. Oh. But yes, this cast is smoking.
To get back to a more innocent time, when I first seen this film, if this does not speak to my horror cred.
Yes.
You know, I was dating a guy who was not into horror movies. We dated for like 4.5 years. This was my high school sweetheart.
And where's he now?
He lives in a trailer with his sister.
You're welcome, but... America. I didn't even know. That wasn't even a setup. That was perfect. Great answer.
Amazing.
But no, I mean, if that does not speak to, you know, who I am as a person, this is little 18-year-old Lacey Liu. This movie came out on Christmas Day.
Did you work at Hooters then?
No, this is before.
Hooters.
Stop it. What does Hooters have to do with any of this?
The movie. Never mind.
Stop it.
Okay.
Anyway, yes, I worked at Hooters. And I had no Hooters at that time, which was ironic. But anyway.
Don't you think?
All right, Alanis. Anyway, so... when this movie first came out on Christmas Day. A lot of churches were super pissed about it. And so they were boycotting the film, actually.
I believe it.
This really happened at this point in time in 2006. I was graduating high school. I was like, I graduated in April. So this is like 5 months before my graduation.
Right.
Well, I graduated early, but for my class, this was. Never mind.
You just had to throw that
in there, didn't you? I did.
We get it. You're smart.
I am. But I wasn't smart enough to... I was supposed to actually graduate a year early.
But you failed gym.
I failed PE. So... yeah. So.
Don't aw that. That's the most ridiculous thing ever, Dave.
So I didn't actually graduate a year early. I only graduated half a semester early. And
at least you didn't fail FE.
What is FE?
Fellatio.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I can't help it. FE is just going to be my thing.
Wow. Wow. Dave just
we just created something new.
Dave just did a 360 duck in your face.
I thought
face.
You were going to say a threesome.
Well, I said nothing of the sort.
There's
no
fellatio involved.
I shouldn't have even said FE. I'm sorry.
No, you don't perfect. Regret it for 1 minute.
That was like Shaquille O'Neal dunking on a midget.
No, all my classes senior year were just PE, and I made a deal with Mrs. Mann. Well, I mean, she looked like Mrs. Mann. Her name is Mrs. Crosden, but she looked like Mrs. Mann from Scary Movie. She really did. She really fucking did. She looked like Mrs. Mann. But I made a deal with her, and she was like, you know what? You can come walk the last week for 8 hours, and then I'll just pass you. And I was like, deal.
Deal.
You know, so what? I walked for 2 hours for... however, whatever math. But so, yeah, I've always been a horror fan. Like, it's always been in my blood. It's, I've had a tradition since I was a kid that, whatever Christmas movie I get, not Christmas movie, but whatever horror film I get for Christmas. So every year somebody gets me a horror movie, at least one person gets me a horror film and I have to watch it. Whatever horror film I get. Like, that's my Christmas tradition, as fucked up as it is. And I remember 1 year nobody got me a horror film.
Right.
And I was so upset. Like, I was sitting there, and they were like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I was like, I didn't get a horror movie. And this was 2010. And so my sister ran up to Family Video, and she came back. She wrapped it really quickly, and she gave it to me.
She got Soul Survivors.
And she was like, I'm sorry, I know you don't like this movie, but this was the only one that I seen that...
what was it?
It was fucking Nightmare on Elm Street Remake 2010. Ah,
starring Katie Cassidy.
Yes,
see?
Ironically.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So, yes, that's a true story. I was super upset. I was, like, sitting there sulking that I didn't get a horror movie. It was the first year. Like, I've done this tradition since, like, 1997. So, I mean, it's a thing.
You have no idea what I've seen.
Oh,
that movie's
Jesus.
So bad.
But, yeah, that was the movie that I got that year, so I had to fucking watch it. So, yes, I have bad blood.
You won't have that problem this year, I guarantee it.
But that is a very real tradition that did happen.
Yes.
But I took my boyfriend at the time to go see this. I made him go see this, and he was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, Well, he would not watch, like, older horror films. Like, if it did not take place in, like, 1995 or higher up, he would not watch a film with me.
That automatically puts you in a group in my head. Like, yeah. You're over here now. Yep.
You know, and But he did go see this movie with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember him, like, sulking in the chair the entire time. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? It's just so fucking stupid.
Kitty Cassidy, better show her tits, yeah.
Well, I don't even think he knows who Kitty Cassidy is, to be honest. You know, like, it didn't matter how hot the cast was. Like, he just wasn't
Can we go see A Nightmare on Elm Street?
Well, I just don't think he cared about, like, these type of films.
Right.
You know, like, he was the type that, like, 8 Mile, Belly, I think is that a movie, Belly?
He's gotta want a battle.
He liked, like, gangster movies. Like, I remember the first movie I ever watched with him was Scarface. So, you know.
Right.
So, he just was not into the same things that I was into. So, we went and seen this movie, and on Christmas Day, it was released. And I remember sitting there in the theater, and I was really confused. The plot was very confusing at the point in time.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. I was so confused. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Oh, my God.
Like, it's from here to there to there.
Yes. Yeah.
And
then back over here, and then here's the side cast for that thing, and then we're going to bring it back at the
end.
Yeah,
like, I just need to check Lacey, because we have the same name. Lacey Chabert was in it. So,
yes.
And then you have fucking Dawn from Michelle Trachtenberg.
Buffy.
Which, I hate her.
Yes, you are not a fan.
No, and then you have Oliver Hudson, who I also hated because... Okay, so it is very possible to hate actors based off of roles that they have played.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Very much so.
So he had played a role in Dawson's Creek, and I was a very big Pacey Joey advocate, if you're a Dawson Creek fans.
Right.
And Oliver Hudson played this guy named Eddie, which she chose
Eddie. Eddie was the worst.
Yes, she chose Eddie over Pacey, and spoiler alert, Eddie just ends up just, like, leaving town and, you know, doesn't even tell her. And she chose, like, so I fucking hate him. So when I see him in anything now, I'm just like, fuck this guy, you know?
Well, but I will say this, though. In this movie, he doesn't necessarily come out swinging either. His character...
no, he's the worst. But yeah, what I'm saying is, like, I seen him and I knew that.
Right, right.
Yeah, well, the thing is about all of this is it had recognizable faces for the time that this movie came out.
Yeah.
Like, did you recognize the faces at the time, Dave?
Did I recognize the people that they were having sex?
No, the actors and actresses that played in the film.
I thought you meant the people. I'm sorry. I thought you meant the people that were in the video.
I'm sorry. I was trying to disregard the statement and just move forward.
No, because I was thinking about the video and I.
Right.
Oh, we know it's you just were thinking about
from
the video.
Behind.
You guys are.
No, I didn't know. No, you're missing my weapon. I didn't know who was in the picture. When they were having sex, I was like, why is this girl watching this porn?
Right.
That's what I was looking. I didn't realize that it was the boyfriend of Katie Cassidy,
okay.
The girl that
so,
was watching.
Okay.
So that is that confusion that you were talking about.
Yeah,
earlier.
There's a bunch of confusion in this film.
There is so much going on so early in this movie, and basically throughout the entire movie, that, yeah, it's extremely convoluted. I gotta be honest with you, when I first watched this movie, I'm not kidding, like, baby, you have nothing on me. It took me probably 10 years to really just, like, fully understand this movie. This movie does actually make sense, but you have to watch it a bunch to take it all in.
This is the equivalent of The Curse of Michael Myers.
Yes, right. Well, yes, yeah. And I'll say this too, Dave. You had said it's too much, you know,
yep.
A few minutes ago. And
it really is.
One thing I've noticed about this movie is it does certain things with it where it tries to create its own kind of mythos and its own thing, so much so that there's too much of it. Meaning, like, all these little tropes that they have, and a lot of them, it's just very heavy-handed, and there's so much of it. There's so many aspects to these characters that, like, you know, they repeat. Like, I'll even think of, like, Billy with the Christmas cookies, and then Billy with the eyeballs. There's an eyeball gag throughout this entire movie.
Yeah,
which,
why?
Well,
why?
Well, he's a
what
cannibal.
Is that? Well, I get it, right. But
like, it's his thing. It's his signature move.
But he has a bunch of fucking signatures.
But that's the main one.
He also
Yeah, but it happened by accident. The eyeball kills. Yeah, the first one was like when the stepfather or the stepfather came after him, he stabbed him. It just happened to be his eyeball that came out.
And then he loved it. He's been fucked by his mom.
I got my thing now.
Like, I mean, he's fucked, you know? Like,
but, and what about later when the girl gets her eyeball taken? Did she have a fake eye? Is that what they were implying? Because
Okay. Yes. So
with Agnes,
and like I said, I'm not saying it. I'm not even saying it like I'm smart, but I finally got it on this rewatch, which was in that flashback scene, Billy stabs her in the eye, so she gets a fake eye. So when she gets stabbed in the eye, that's why it's creepy when she has no reaction.
Well, there was no guts on it. We saw eyes come out the whole movie, and it was good gore. Look good. I'm like, well, wait a minute, what the fuck? How come this eye here doesn't have anything attached to it?
You know, exactly.
It's got to be fake. Okay, at least it was a fake eye. Okay.
There's all these things, too, with, there's some nice touches. Like, all the gifts given in this movie are all wrapped in newspapers.
Well, and they make it a theme of where, this is where I think you got confused to where it might have coincided with the original.
How so?
Is they're giving gifts to Billy.
Correct.
Like, in the house.
Right.
Like, the backstory is there. Which, I mean, they could have easily tied that in. And
exactly.
And it would have been great.
Well, and that's what was confusing.
Like,
he was like a legend.
Black Xmas.
Right.
It would have been great.
That you're absolutely right. That's what kind of tripped me up, where I was like, oh, is he like an urban legend or whatever, where,
it would have worked so much better for me had they done that.
If it were, they wouldn't even have to change that much, especially considering the ending of the first one. But whatever, it is a remake, and because it's a remake, we get a backstory. Now,
we were super pissed. I was super pissed about the, there was no motive or rhyme or reason, at least a little bit.
Right.
In the original. And this one feels like, what's the terminology of in your mouth? Like, too much?
Happy.
Fellatio.
The fellatio in your mouth. Fuck you guys, for real. Fuck you both. All right, you know that scene where Nev Campbell is choosing between Randy and Stu? Fuck you both. That's how I feel. No.
Over-explanation, maybe?
Yeah, it was over-explaining it in this film. Like, it was too much.
Way too much in this movie. Too much of everything, and that's the theme of it.
But that's where the theme of Edmund Kemper comes in.
Okay.
He was abused by his mother and a lot, and so that's the inspiration. And Morgan, the director, wanted to do something different with this as opposed to the original, like, switch it up a little bit.
Right.
So he decided to add in the Agnes storyline. Mm-hmm. And he fought with the Weinsteins a lot on this, actually. He originally had a very similar ending to Black
Harvey Christmas. Was like, does Agnes have nice tits? He was like, no, it's played by a dude. He was like, I'm going to fight you on this one.
No, it really happened. So originally the ending of this film was supposed to be Miss Luton from Final Destination 1.
Okay.
And Katie Cassidy. Right. And then they get a phone call from Billy alluding the fact, a prank phone call from Billy, like alluding to the fact that he's still alive, like in the original.
Right.
But the Weinsteins did not like that ending at all.
They're like, more tits.
More so Harvey. So they actually shot that ending, and then they had to reshoot it, and then you get the ending that we get.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, Harvey Weinstein made them reshoot it.
That's a fucking shocker. I'm not surprised in the slightest. I will say this, too, though. Despite the Weinsteins getting their fingers into this movie, no pun intended, or not... This script has fucking problems.
So many.
Again, going back to the convoluted side stories, it almost felt like it was trying to be very soap opera-y, but at the same time, like, hey, this is a slasher horror movie, while intercutting you with the backstory.
We're going to give you an orange-colored killer.
Yeah, what? Yeah, Dave, what did you think about the orange skin? What the fuck? Why? Like this why? This is what I mean. This is what I mean. Why? Like, the only thing it said is this is why his mother hates him. Like, I would have bought that just because people are shitty. Like, don't have to come up with another, oh, he's got yellow skin. That's another thing that we're going to
add
in. No,
she could have just been a shitty parent and didn't care about a kid.
Right.
Yep, or she could have had a club foot or something, maybe.
Right.
Something.
But instead you're going to give him orange fucking skin.
Stupid. And then when you see him later on, it's not orange anymore. I didn't think it was at least.
Well, right, and then it wasn't the eyes as become, orange. And then the eyes become orange. Did you notice that as well?
Right. Yeah, like, exactly.
Oh, you know what's the color? Because the eyes are orange.
Now, one thing that that was great that involved those orange eyes is a lot of the scenes where Billy's looking.
Peering.
Like, it's so funny. Like, a couple of them, you just burst out laughing. Because it is. It's like, this is borderline like a comedy. This is like a horror comedy in a sense.
Like, when the eye is in the floor where she is, the drunk bitch.
With the tiles. Yeah, all those tiles. Fucking tiles that kept popping out. How many fucking peepholes does Billy have? Well, also,
and then you see, like, the tile will just pop up, like, after she covered up the other one or whatever.
He sticks his dick through it like Porky's.
Okay, that didn't happen.
Porky's.
Now we're back in Mrs. Mann's high school shower room.
Basically, yeah, right? No, but how many peepholes does one fucking dude have? And I will say this. If you push a tack out of a poster, I guarantee that that hole will not be big enough for you to fucking see anything into the next room.
Amen.
That happened. That literally happens. Like, there's certain...
this is how I know I'm on a podcast with two dudes.
This is how physics work, though. There's just certain things that just don't make sense.
Fuck like, all you bitches.
Logistically speaking, in this movie. But yeah, I found all the side plots and kind of all the attempts to, I guess, care for these people. It just didn't work. You know, all these characters that are being introduced... It's all basically continuing stories that have already begun, right? So you got the sister showing up because that was the opening kill. You know, she was writing to her sister.
The sentimental notes.
Yeah.
From your baby sister.
That's why she's there. Obviously, they're all there. Not left yet to go home for Christmas or anything like that. You get to know about like somewhat of their past histories with their family. Just little tidbits here and there. I thought it was done okay. At the same time, I do remember for the longest time feel like I was being inundated with characters. No, like, too many people.
This actually brings up a good point. Yeah. So, as a female, I know my stance on this, but I would like to know your guys' take. It's a sorority house. They're supposed to be sisters. They're supposed to be friends.
Right.
Did you... Or Dave, at any point in time, did you ever actually feel like these characters cared about each other, like, as a sisterly relationship, or even as friends?
No, the only two that I felt cared about each other was Katie Cassidy and the girl in the bin, and they gets killed, but then we come to find out that she's fucking her man. So
right.
Some friend she is.
Yeah, right. Know? Yeah, exactly.
Like, and I'll say this for all three films, almost. It feels like they're not really friends or sisters, like, until, we'll get into it in the next film a little bit more, but for the first two films that we're talking about right now, I do not feel like any of them actually give a fuck about each other.
Yeah, but that's how I feel like real life is. Like, sorority sisters, it's a bunch of random people that are basically thrown into a house, you know? But it's one of those things, too, where...
But you choose to do that, though, if you're doing that.
I totally agree with what you said. I don't for a second buy that, like, these girls are friends. But I also know that, like, to be in a sorority and in a house like this, that, like, yeah, they're usually not the best of friends, a lot of them. You know, you get relationships within that group, but it all kind of felt kind of cold, you know? And even
their
attempt at, yeah, why?
Because they spent so much time on other bullshit, so many fucking things in the first 25 minutes before we even meet that weird girl, and then we have to meet a sister for another girl. There was no time to build the characters and the relationships.
You don't care about that.
I forgot about that weird chick. And
this is where the confusing plot comes
in. And
so much.
I don't appreciate this, though, on the filmmaker's part, to where they intercut that scene where we meet that girl with another scene where it's to basically imply that, oh, now we are to believe that this is Agnes.
Right.
And I don't like that shit. I never did. They do that in the fucking Timothy Oliphant, Mila Jovovich movie too, A Perfect Getaway, where
I
will say on record, and I've said it before, that I love that movie, but there's bullshit moments where they intercut it to make you believe one thing, and then it's purposefully false.
Well, that's what they're doing to, like, fuck with the viewer, though. Either you like it or you don't.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. But I will say this, that in this movie, I thought that there was a nice payoff to this, because out of all the people that Agnes would take a liking to, she did put that bitch's head on top of her tree.
All right, let's actually get into Agnes.
Oh, God.
Like, before, like, anything else, let's just get into the thick of Agnes.
Yes.
Now, Dave, obviously, you watched the original when it, in the 80s at least, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, when they added this extra plot point into the remake, what did you think?
It felt like something that actually makes sense for these kind of movies. Like, in the 2000s, when they started doing remakes, they started doing that stuff. And in a way, you could kind of say, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. They're going to explore. We hear the name Agnes in the first one. So
it's cool name.
Agnes?
Yes. Like, would you want to be named Agnes?
Agnes.
That's like an old lady name. That went out in the fucking 1950s, I think.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't see it. But
my family now.
Yo, did you see that ass on Agnes? Like, it just doesn't work. Yeah.
Agnes anus.
Yeah.
They should have left it out, though. In retrospect, they did way too much in this movie. They could have had no sister at all. It just had an old school, and the fucking guy escapes and comes there and kills people.
I think of, like, the House of Wax remake in this sense, too.
I love the House of Wax remake.
I do too, baby. But, like, I think this is around that same time, and this is what they were going for. I will say, first of all, before we get into that, I will say that there's a huge Final Destination connection in this movie. You had mentioned before the teacher, who plays Lee.
Mrs. Luton.
Yep. She's obviously in Final Destination 1.
Yes.
There's the chick who is drunk.
The tanning bed, Ashlyn, in Final Destination 3.
And obviously we have Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who is the lead.
I can't think of her name, though, in the Final Destination movies.
She's in number 3, yeah. She's an amazing...
She's the lead.
Yeah, exactly. Not only that, but this gentleman was the gentleman who directed this was a writer on Final Destination.
And not only that, the behind the scenes guy played Agnes on Final Destination.
Okay, so here's the main thing. The cameraman for Final Destination and several other movies that this guy has worked on, the director here. This guy is not an actor. He is legit a cameraman. They got him because he's so fucking creepy. And they were like, dude, we gotta put you in a movie. Now, this is the behind-the-scenes stuff that I was talking about earlier. I remember watching some of the behind-the-scenes, and man, I don't know, like, watching it really kind of got me into the movie more too, because they really did care about what they were doing in their own way. They wanted to do something original, but yeah, adding this guy into it, this guy who had never acted in anything, who was against it, who reminds me of a cross between fucking Buffalo Bill and what's his fucking name? Vincent from fucking House of Wax. Like, that's who he reminds me of.
And in more modern times, the boy.
The boy, too, because he climbs through fucking walls. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the boy is heavily inspired by
Oh, Bud. You're right. A look of him, too. Yeah.
Yep, that's another big one for sure. And that was another thing, too, in terms of him crawling around in the ceilings. Again, another example of too much. And when I mean too much, it's not like he's crawling around his own house. Motherfucker's crawling around the hospital in the end. Like he can't even just go up to the next room and, like, go through the door. He's got to go fucking through the tiles, through the ceiling.
Well, but that's the thing. I think he didn't think he was going to be as stealthy as he was in the attic. Like, he's not as quiet.
My argument would be, yeah, if you tried to walk through the halls all yellow and shit, that wouldn't exactly
Well, climb. No, there's two of them, though.
Right. Right, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
It's too much. The last 15 minutes of this film, I hate it.
Dude, it's so much.
Well,
it's
let's
ridiculous.
Get into the kills.
Yes.
Like, they're the best part.
That's what I actually really like about this film. Fuck, like, you get an ice skate to the back of the fucking head.
That
you get
is
an icicle
so...
to the eye. You get an fucking cookie cutters and eating her. You know, like...
Love it.
Yep.
I mean, the gore is great.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, the kills are great.
Absolutely.
The reasoning and the characters' motives are dumb as fuck.
You know, and I'll say this, too. You get some off-screen stuff, some off-screen kills in this.
Yeah, like Elizabeth...
But like Dave Z...
But it's cool.
Yeah, but like Dave Z said with the swinging of the axe, in this case, it's the squirt of blood. And I love that. And I always love that because, you know what? That says... Hey guys, we don't have any money for this, but here's some blood. And I just loved it. And I thought that the kills were amazing. You know, that icicle scene is one of those out
and
loud.
And that's not actually by a killer. Like it, that just
but that's on accident.
Like freak accident.
That's on, but I love that.
And which is she is actually from the original. She plays Mrs. Mack in this one. She
is
actually in the original.
House mother. Yeah.
She's what's her name? She's Phil.
Yes. And she dies like a Final Destination death, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I love that, too. You know, it's there's certain things that they do in this movie that they're cheesy and all these things, but you got to give it this. It's very original. You know, even that scene where the blood splatter, they kill fucking Mary Elizabeth Winstead, like, off screen with a blood splatter. But then they follow it with his fucking eye that sticks through the little hole that she fucking scraped away. Like, and whether you like that or not, like, I don't know, you're not going to see that in any other movie. Like, that's just such a original setup.
All right, so let's get back into Agnes a little bit here. I mean, which is probably maybe the most ridiculous killer of the 2000s, in my opinion. Like, from 2000 to 2010, at least. Agnes is ridiculous.
Well, you didn't even know that Agnes was even, like, involved. You were like, wait, is he fucking dressed up as a girl?
Well,
like, is Billy
like,
in a wig?
I'd seen the movie. I thought, I didn't know if Agnes was the same character as Billy or what. It's a very confusing film.
Yes.
It really is.
But Agnes has some really funny fucking lines.
Oh, my fucking God.
Like, like, there's a line where, Katie Cassidy says something like, I killed your brother, or your brother's here. And she's like, No,
my daddy's here.
it's so ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Like, some of the lines, though, in this movie, like,
she's my family now.
Oh, why did that become the catchphrase? The woman said it one time.
Right.
The mother said it one time while the kid was upstairs about the baby, and that became the whole fucking impetus of the whole film. How stupid. Right. What a dumb catchphrase.
Again, just another thing. Like, that catchphrase, just another little addition that I feel like you just didn't need.
No.
Like, there's so many little tiny, like, this connects to that, and that connects to that.
It needed to,
like,
be
dude.
Cut, like, at least 14 minutes.
Right.
Like, yeah. I don't know why I went with 14 minutes, but that feels good.
That feels about right, yeah.
Because the movie, I think, runs at 1:32. Like,
yes.
Let's make it an hour 20.
Right.
Like, there could have been so many different things that they could have cut, and it would have made it so much more simplistic and gone a long way.
Yeah, and not only that,
that
too.
Hospital scene went on a long time, too.
Oh, see, it's terrible.
Oh, see, and that's a big thing. Like, when everything at the house ends, it's like Scream 4, too, where, yeah, they just continue at the hospital, and then you're going for another fucking 20 minutes. And here's the thing about that. It doesn't really add anything in those. Like, what changes from being at the house to being in the hospital? And I understand that they wanted you to think, like, oh, they're dead until they fucking...
They could have did that in the house. Like,
it was
him falling on the tree topper, it could have happened at the house.
And yeah. And you know what, too? We said this about the original Black Christmas. They could have really just kept it all about the house and made that more of a central location. Because when you take it out of there, it just takes on a completely different feel.
Oh, you know what I'm remembering now that we're talking about it? Earlier on in the film, Jane was like, do people really talk this way? It's when, you know, the raunchy Santa that Billy obviously kills and steals his suit.
You believe that nurse would fucking say that shit to Santa?
No.
100%! No. I talk to you like that daily.
But baby!
But I talk to you like that daily. I'm
but
like,
a random Santa, and she was just like, come fuck me,
yeah,
Santa.
I mean, if you're horny enough and you're lonely, yeah. Really? I do.
I wish. Holy. I was jealous. I was like, is this really happening? They must have an affair going on already.
Right.
I'm Lucy Liu. I would say that shit.
In
a joking way.
You're
absolutely
saying that? I'd like to believe that's true, but like, yeah.
What do you mean? Look at our conversations that when we used to talk before we were ever dating. How did I talk to you?
That's true.
Think about it that way. Like,
but this guy's a Santa Claus. He's a guest in this fucking
place. Santa.
He's not there every day. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, people have Santa fetishes, Dave.
Well, apparently, yeah, but like,
I guess I was doing it wrong. I should have dressed up as Santa.
Right.
Single men, dress up as Santa if you're listening. Try
start
it.
Start going to fucking prisons delivering shit. That's the yeah.
Oh, and that escape is fucking horrible. Horrible. Why would that guy even do? First of all, if you're a security guard at a place like that, you're pretty smart at what you do. Just because you open that sliding part and he's not sitting in a chair, you're not going to unlock the door and walk in.
Right. Well, and not only that, too, you know, during the exposition of, you know, Billy's backstory that they're giving us, which is really their only fucking thing. Well, obviously that and the escape. But as we're learning all this, tastes like chicken because it's chicken.
He was like, why would you appease him?
Why are you accommodating this guy?
Like, give that bitch broccoli.
Like, what do you care? And see, that's the thing. It's like, it made no sense. It almost felt like comical, like it was like a cartoon or like, you know, the beginning of Halloween Resurrectum, you know, with the fucking guy talking. It felt comical. So it's like, I get it. You need a scene where he escapes and stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, all I could think of at that time until this rewatch, which finally everything clicked for me, I was much like Lacey Liu. I'm like, wait, is this a flashback to when he got out? Is he at the house now?
When is
he's not there yet. Like, none of this makes sense. And again, I get it. The addition of his daughter / sister.
No, my daddy's here.
It's so fucked up, dude. Can we talk about the backstory real quick?
Yeah, let's talk about the incestuous shit going on.
Yeah, Dave said he'd fuck her earlier in the show.
The mom.
Now, here's the thing. When you get scenes like that, they can come off very generic and like very like, oh, this is like the typical serial killer thing. But I do think that this story in particular had enough little nuances to it. What I mean by that is it was very off-putting. This movie in general, I feel like, is very kind of, it feels kind of strange, if that makes sense. Does that make sense, Dave?
I guess strange is a word you can use. It's just fucked up, man.
It's fucked, right? Yeah, like it has a weird feel to it. So while I was watching all these, you know, backstory scenes, you know, the first one, obviously she kills his father. Obviously it sets up like a nice relationship with him and the father, where, you know, he's like, go up to your bedroom and there we find the secret spot and all that kind of stuff too. Where it went after that though, with the mother and, you know, the boyfriend there after she killed the father, she's fucking the other guy and he's fucking passed out. So she goes fucking with Billy one night. This is where it really lost me. And you know, it's not that like, oh, this isn't fun for me. Like, I get it that these type of things are necessary to show like how fucked up it is. But I gotta be honest with you, I didn't want to fucking see any of this. I didn't want to see any of that shit. And I get it. It's, oh yeah, like they had a kid and it was Agnes. But it just felt so, it felt too weird for a movie like this. I'm like, where are we right here? Andy's got yellow skin. Like, why didn't Agnes have yellow skin? Like, it just...
Well, she took after the mother.
So she got the good end of the deal?
Well, and did you look at the mother?
Well, right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Apparently she became blonde when she was older, which makes no sense because everybody was dark-haired.
Right. And I don't know, just in general, the whole backstory just made no sense to me. And it was just, it felt very generic at times. It's like the quintessential, hey, this is what a serial killer's life would be, and then there it is.
Well, I mean, and that's where it comes into where, you know, they were trying to base it off a serial killer.
Well, and they tried to use Christmas as kind of an integral way to make him the killer that he was. And in that aspect, I feel like they achieved it. You know, they treat Christmas in a way where, like I said, that's why it's fucked up, and you guys were saying earlier in terms of, like, it kind of impedes on the Christian holiday and stuff like that.
Yeah, this one actually had more controversy than the original because it was released on Christmas.
Right, and it's more fucked up of a movie, I think, in a lot of ways. And it really gets into those, I don't know, I feel like it does have enough nuances because of the Christmas aspect. So I feel like the angle is, you know, slightly different. But at the same time, I feel like because of that same reason, it falls into a lot of stupid Christmas tropes kind of things and just stupid things that they didn't need to do either.
You know, I actually liked the fact that, you know, for being a remake, they brought in a lot of the original, but yet made it their own. They still did, you know, the bag death scene.
They did. They used that.
You know, they did use that.
Pretty much the signature.
The kills were amped up completely. Like I said, I mean, you get an ice skate to the back of Michelle Trachtenberg's head, which I love.
That was
I
so dope.
Her.
That death was great. So.
I mean, yep. She ruined Buffy, so I was very happy to see her die. you know, when Lacey Charbet died, the way and the look of her face when that happened, I thought that was impeccable. I really did. The deaths are next to none in this film for me. I think they're great. I also feel like it did provide backstory. It did provide a little too much backstory, and the incestuous shit was not needed. They did not need to add in the element of the sister. They could have just had the mother, you know, locking Billy up in the attic.
Too much.
It just became too much, and it got very convoluted and very confusing. They really should have just honed in on the character of one of the sorority sisters. They also brought in the sorority back, which is, you know, obviously a callback to the original.
Right.
You know, they brought back one of the characters. Well, she's not.
One of the actors.
Yeah, the actors at least came back to play it. So it is a homage to the original for sure.
Homage.
Homage. Is what? Homage? Is that not a thing?
Homage. It's a fucking homage.
Okay, close enough. But, I mean, I really think that what they did here, it really did pay its respect, you know. They had the Razor phone, which I had, the hot pink one.
What the fuck? Is that in your notes?
Yes, it was.
Wow.
But I feel like for the time that it came out, it was very fresh.
Right.
You know, and I think the deaths were very amped up. There wasn't character-driven storyline. Aside from, you know, Billy and Agnes, I feel like that was the story that was, you know, carrying out the plot.
Right.
And then, but in order to care about a final girl, you have to care about a final girl.
Yeah,
like,
you gotta set something
I'm
up.
Sorry, you can't just fuck Oliver Hudson and expect us, like, and then he fucks another girl, and then, like, you have no other backstory for us to care about you about, aside that your boyfriend, like, fucked another girl.
Which I'll say his stepfather played Santa Claus. That would be Kurt Russell himself.
Yes, we got that. And...
Hmm.
Did you know that that's
Goldie Hawn's son.
Yes, Kate Hudson's brother.
Really?
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yes, indeed.
But with all that being said and done...
Yes.
I do enjoy this for... I think this is probably my most enjoyable out of the three.
Right on. Right on.
And with that, I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Oh, okay. Wow. Damn.
Wow.
All right. Well, what about you, Dave Z? What do you give Black Christmas from 2006, the year Lacey Wu graduated?
And the year my daughter was born.
Oh! Wow. Even
yeah.
more.
How about that? Yeah. Okay. So, the pros are, you know, the kills. Absolutely. Thank goodness we had good kills in this movie because we did. They did pay homage. There was some good stuff going on. On top of what Lacey said, they also had some POV shots. They had the unicorn came back. They had this little touches that were in the original. I'm like, okay, that's cool. They tried a little something here. There's just too much stupid shit. Of course, like, again, right. The cast, very beautiful women in this movie. Man, and I liked seeing them all. And the thing is, Katie Cassidy, I think, I consider her the lead. Again, they didn't spend a whole lot of time with her, but she was the most sympathetic one. The thing with the boy, and then at the end, how she said, "We're gonna stay. We're sisters. We're gonna stay and do this and this." She seemed to be the most honorable among all of them. So she was relatable, at least. But there was just there's too much stupid shit. First of all, a fuse box would not be under the house.
Right.
Never happen. I work for the power company. Maybe a gas line will be in that area where they're talking. There would never be a fuse box there. So that kind of pissed me off. Icicles were a little bit too strong. I mean, if an icicle falls from a house...
Icicles were a little bit too strong.
A little bit. I can see an icicle grabbed off of something and stabbed. That I can look at it and say, okay, it's a slasher movie, it's a kill. But just to have an icicle fall off a house is going to really go through your head? Come on. It's just... I don't buy that. But ultimately, what we have here is 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag.
Yo, you just said it so perfectly right
there.
So
what was your rating?
Wow.
The rating is not too bad. Even though I said all that I'm going to say, I am still going to say that the positives are enough for me to consider watching it again and... Mm-hmm. You know, definitely shutting it off when they go to the hospital. But I'll give it a 3. 3 is
nice.
I love the tree topper kill, though. Like, I'm glad they didn't do, like, the ending of what he originally wanted you to do. I love the fact that he falls on the tree topper. I think it's perfect.
I agree. That was a good kill. That's true. That was a good kill.
Well, and there's definitely a lot of great kills in this movie. You know, this movie does have a lot of great stuff in it. The things that we mentioned that's not so great about it, obviously it brings the movie down in a lot of ways. But at the same time, you know, you got to look at a movie's originality. And for a movie that, you know, is like a slasher that is centered around Christmas time, you just don't see that a lot. You know, you don't get it that often. And I think that while this movie is fucking insane and bonkers at times, I think that with time, it'll become one of those classics. Almost like it's so bad, it's good type of things, you know?
Kind of like Silent Night, Deadly Night with, like, the garbage truck.
Correct.
Man.
That, exactly. I really do. I think of instances like that.
Well, and then you get 2019, that makes it even more coveted.
Oh, that we're going to get into that fucking pile. Dave talked about piles of shit in bags. That's a steaming pile of shit.
So what do you rate
2006? So this one, I feel like it's got a lot of, you know, actresses that we know and that we can identify with to a certain...
It came out in our time frame.
Exactly. And it took me years to kind of fully wrap my head around it. I don't know if I appreciate it as much as I, you know, understand it now. But at the same time, like, it was enjoyable. I might throw this movie on maybe once every 5 years or so.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
If we were to have kids,
yeah,
would you show them the original Black Christmas, this Christmas, or 2018?
I'd just be like me. Realize that it's a movie that was important to the genre, but you could probably skip it.
No, but which one would you watch?
Oh, honestly?
Like, you have to pick one of the three. It's not like...
Honestly, after watching that original and just hearing the noises during it, I would say that this was a more enjoyable watch, this one, out of the two, yes.
Okay, you just were saying, after watching the original and hearing the noises, which you complimented, and then you said, but I would pick this one.
No, I didn't say that at all. I said the noises were off-putting.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
remember all the screaming? He said it was too loud or something.
Oh, no, I thought he liked, like, the atmosphere.
I liked it.
Yeah, no.
Oh, my bad.
It's okay.
I pulled another Dan.
But no, like, but after everything, though, I just think it's an enjoyable watch. I think that, it's one that I'm not going to run to go back to. But at the same time, in terms of horror movies that are also, you know, Christmas movies as well, like I said, they're few and far between. So, yeah, I might throw this on every once in a while. I would probably rate it a 3.
Okay.
A solid 3.
Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah.
There's two more things I wanted to add. I wanted to ask you guys a question, first of all.
Yes.
Did you guys watch Scream Queens?
Yes.
Yes.
It was so off-putting to me that the guy who's playing a kid in this movie is the father in Scream Queens, and it was only like 15 years later, he's the father of a college girl.
Right.
Oh, you're talking
right.
about the show? I thought you meant the reality show that the chick from Saw hosted.
Yes, there
oh,
was.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I forgot that even happened.
No, I
yeah.
never watched Scream Queens, but Dan did.
Oh, man, that show was off the
Which I should
wall.
Because I love Emma Roberts.
Oh, yeah. It's probably her best performance.
It's the Emma Roberts show, yeah.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
either going to love it the first episode, you're going to love the writing and the type of comedy,
I did watch the first episode. I watched, the first... I got to the part where the singing kid from Glee... I don't know if you guys watch Glee, but...
No.
He was on there, and I think he died, in the first one or two episodes, and I was just like, I don't know if I feel this. I like everybody Chanel number one.
It's a great show. No,
I love it. Ryan Murphy can do no wrong for me, so I would even
watch a politician?
Nope, but everything I've seen from him, I love.
It's not horror.
I would watch it. I saw one thing he did. It was about the... It was a Netflix show. It came out last year. Whatever.
Well,
Ratchet?
No, but we can't watch it yet because Francesca hasn't seen the original movie yet, so we have to watch Cuckoo's Nest, and then we're all going to watch it together.
It's weird, man. Yeah,
it's not even, on the same...
Yeah, we watched the original movie, and I'm like, she kind of sucks, but she's not that bad. Not enough to warrant, a prequel series. But I guess people are really digging it, so yeah.
Yeah, I would say it doesn't, Nurse Ratched does not feel like the same Nurse Ratched.
Right,
oh, really?
Right.
I just wanted to give her context on why
and
who this person is. But I feel you. I kind of I can't say that because I thought that in the Hulu show, when they did the Misery
thing, yeah.
Oh, boy, that was great. But to me, I just love Ryan.
She did a great job playing.
My pills!
Yeah, she did.
I need my pills! She was so good at it. That sucks that show was canceled. But I always felt like it was going to get canceled, unfortunately. But I thought it was such a great opportunity to kind of enrich Stephen King's world, kind of in a loose format. Because think about that. They mixed Misery with fucking Salem's Lot.
Crazy, but it worked. I liked it much more than season one, honestly.
And that's a reimagining of something that I feel like works in a way. Now, we talked about the 2006 version. We talked about the original. Now, here comes the third reiteration of Black Christmas. And holy fucking shit, guys.
And I am going to read the IMDb.
Yay.
And hey, see? You're getting better, baby.
All right. Are you one ready for the random accent?
Yes.
Should I do it in a Boston accent?
Yes.
Okay, let's try it in a Boston. Now, I'm going to do it in a Christmas accent.
All right, go.
Okay. Yo, a group of female students is stalked by a stranger during their Christmas break. That is, until the young sorority pledges discover that the killer is part of an underground college conspiracy.
Wow.
Did you like that?
That was, I wish I could retain any of that information, because I couldn't get past the accent.
Okay, I'll do it one more time.
No, please don't.
No, I'm going to do it one more time in the Christmas accent that I would like to do it in.
Okay, baby.
Okay. A group of female students is stalked by a stranger during their Christmas break. That is, until the young sorority pledges discover that the killer is part of an underground college conspiracy. You're welcome. All right. So, Dave, was this your first time watching this?
Yes. I've always said I will never watch it unless it's for a podcast. So here I am.
And how much do you hate us?
Well, I'll tell you this. I've seen worse movies than this.
Yeah.
And check it. I listened to people review this movie, and I've heard everything they had to say about it. And as a result of that, I was going in expecting it to be extremely heavy-handed with its message. And I will say it was heavy-handed with this message, but nowhere near as much as I imagined from the way people talk about it.
You don't think so?
It was heavy-handed, but not extremely the way I've heard people talk about it. Dang, look at it this way.
It couldn't have been heavier. Every line in this fucking movie was like, hey, just wanted to make sure that we're still woke. Hey, we're still
did
woke.
You not say we're still woke?
We're still woke at this point in the movie too, Dave. We just want to make sure that we're woke. And we're not only representing females, we're representing like black males that are nerdy.
I'm going to say yes and no.
It fucked this movie.
No.
It's so heavy-handed. You guys are ridiculous if you don't think this is the most fucking in-your-face, like, I am this. Hey, guys, I'm this. Hey, guys, I just want to check back and make sure that you guys know that I'm still this.
Oh, no.
I agree, but there's a lot of political movies that people we know, and that maybe even us, watch those movies and love it and know the message in there and love the message
give
in there.
Example,
nobody
Dave.
Complains.
I'll complain.
An example of a movie with political motivations?
That I love? Yeah.
Well, you could say Jordan Peele movies.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Right on.
Nobody complains about that. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, this is what's going on here, and I realize that's what they're saying, and I'm all for it, so I'm not going to complain.
That was my right.
The horror community really tore this movie down, and that was the reason given.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I thought it was going to be, yes, I hear what you're saying. There was a lot said. But honestly, in this franchise, pretty much, I said the word franchise, oh man. Okay, in these three movies, fuck.
What else can you call it?
Every man in these movies is a fucking shitbag.
Yeah.
Just about. The only guy that wasn't a shitbag in this, but in the last one the guy was, in the first one the guy was, and right. Now here, they all were, except for the one guy.
Oh, no, he was the biggest douchebag.
You know, I'm
going to
get into that
I,
just a little bit.
I know,
like,
I know.
In depth. I promise I have a whole thing planned for that.
With that fucking guy?
No, not with, like, in general, of the parentheses franchise.
Okay, right. Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, and also, too, you know, it's, for me, it's one of those things where I went into this movie giving it the benefit of the doubt, meaning I had heard the same things that Dave was talking about, except from my perspective, it was even fucking worse.
Well, you're a typical dude, though.
It's, but that, what do you mean, though?
You know what I mean.
That, literally, That is so offensive. No, you know why? Because here's the problem with that. The message of this is to, you know, basically, obviously, highlight chauvinistic tendencies and even bring it to the horror realm where it's like, hey, this guy was into black magic and he thinks that all males are superior and, you know, all females should be submissive and all these things. It's so unnecessary on so many levels. Like, you can convey so much of that message with so much less that the fact that they go to, like, all the males have to be possessed.
Right.
Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? If you want to give me a message, let's not go into cartoon fucking territory. How about that? Like, let's not take it to that realm. If you want to be fucking taken seriously, I understand it's the horror genre, and you can go anywhere you want with your movie and tell it in fantastical ways. But at the same time, for what they were trying to convey and the delivery in which they fucking basically, like, gave us by the mouthful every fucking 2 seconds, it just doesn't gel. It doesn't justify the supernatural aspect of it.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to be honest with you right here, being a female, right? And looking at your perspective versus mine, I believe that, you know, the filmmaker was trying to make a point. Absolutely. Right? And however, it was too much. Like, as a female, and I definitely believe in the Me Too movement. I really do. And that's what a lot of, you know, the horror community was saying, that it's way too Me Too, whatever. It's way too heavy-handed, as Dan was saying. But I believe that she could have made a point easily, like, in just one scene. Didn't have to make the entire fucking movie surround it. It was ridiculous. What do you think about this, Dave Z?
It was too heavy-handed. Don't get it twisted that I'm not saying it's not. I was just expecting every line in the movie and every female in the movie to be like that one was. There was that one in particular that was the most vocal about it all. And I was, that one character, I was expecting everybody in the movie to be that way and to speak that way. And they didn't. So for me, it wasn't as bad as that. It was still, like I said, it still was very heavy-handed. That's obvious to anybody. Of course it is. I just thought it was going to be a little more extreme. But I did put that aside and watch it just for this is what's happening here. And, you know, don't you think, would you, okay, Dan, you said something about the black magic and everything else for being.
Yeah.
So, okay, would you have preferred it? Because this is what I would have had a bigger problem if it was a different way. As a man, it would have pissed me off more if these guys were assholes just because they were men and they were assholes. At least this movie here is they're not saying every man is an asshole. They're saying that this whatever the fuck his name is, Winthorpe or whatever the hell his name is, the guy that founded the place, he was an asshole that believed in this, and they have his statue and all this other shit. So as a result, it's caused in so many ways a virus that has swept through these men that participated here.
Right.
Don't you think that that's better off than them just saying, well, every guy's an asshole naturally because they are, you know?
Right, and I get that, and I truly get that. But that's speaking more to the point of, you know, men are blind followers as well. Like we don't necessarily believe in this. We're just going to go with this because this is the way, this is, you know, how chauvinism works and stuff like that. I think this, honestly, I think that message is okay, but at the same time, when you try and deliver it on the other end with such a literal, like, I was raped thing and, like, all these different aspects of it, I just think it doesn't gel. I just think that, like, if you're gonna give a message, then don't give us this as well.
Well, okay, so here's where I can get confused. Like, so you guys are saying that these guys necessarily aren't chauvinist or whatever, like, they're just possessed. However, I felt like the symbolism of, you know, when she takes, like, the black blood bleeding eye statue and smashes it, like, that should release their spell or possession, right? Because obviously the black kid, I can't think of his name, the one with the terrible quotes throughout the entire movie.
Landon, right?
Landon, yes. Yeah. Like, he was ridiculous, and he comes back to being normal, but everybody else is still a dick. Like, what does that tell you? I know that there's, like, that moment to where you, like, see his hand twitching to where he's not necessarily fully under the spell, but yet he does not, like, come to, you know, fruition until after the skull is broken or whatever, so.
And there's a fucking point where he has to explain it to her what just happened. Like, she didn't understand that he was just fucking possessed because fucking Dr. Gordon just told her the whole story. Like, this is what I mean, though. Like, that wasn't me. You realize that wasn't me, right? Like, I'm like, listen, Urkel, we get it. Like, yeah, I get it. No, I get it.
But she shushed him. I like that she shushed him. She goes, now's not the time.
Right? Remember? She was like, shut the fuck up, you nerd.
Right.
Like, I don't care about this right now.
Right.
And, like, I don't know. And here's the thing, though. I think that they said that they were grooming those guys, so they weren't possessed. They fucking believed in this, so they believed in the... He's like, we found some magical things. So they were already chauvinists. They were just fucking... What, right?
Well, no, because if you think about it, like, the pledge came, and, like, when she stabbed him, she was like, that's not blood. It was all, like, the
correct.
Black shit that was
correct.
Coming out of the eyes. So,
correct.
Yes, they were definitely under
some of
that
them were.
Spell. So,
the
like,
ones
what,
that were meant to kill
why
them.
Why else break... Like, I'm saying this movie has so many holes. Like, why else break the fucking thing if they're still going to just be the same, but then all of a sudden, Landon
right.
is back to being his normal self?
Makes sense.
I think because the head wasn't broken. They showed it again, and the head was still fully...
Just the shoulder.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever had to convert about, to be honest with you.
No. Okay, no. Here's the fucking problem
fucking
with it. Here's the biggest fucking problem with this movie, okay? So there's a point where, first of all, when we're meeting all these characters, the little fucking Jewish girl comes in, and she's just like, what does she say? She's just like, I'd never leave my lady cup, or whatever.
What the fuck was she even talking about? Some type of cup?
Yeah, like,
a diva cup.
Diva cup.
I never heard of a diva cup.
Yes. So, that is even fucking brought back. Like, the worst scene where she sticks something fucking down her crotch
yeah.
is later brought like, back in the end of the movie when they're talking.
In a flashback.
Yeah, you want to talk about I Know What You Did Last Summer earlier. It's like fucking the dude in part two where he takes all their items and stuff like that. It's like a voodoo thing, right?
Yeah, and you knew it. It was so telegraphed. The girl
right.
even said, oh, so what do you think? That these people are coming in here and taking these things for some type of ritual? And I'm like, that's fucking exactly what's happening. Yes, that's
and
how
then,
this work.
Dude, and then the girlfriend that goes along with it, they're like, yeah, she's submissive so she can stay. She literally, as the guy's coming at her, she looks at the thing real quick. And she's just like, where'd you get that from? Like, you're just looking at that now and realizing that that's one of your items? Like, why would you look directly to that? And
right
then,
now.
And then,
look directly.
And then ask the question afterwards. Like, you know exactly what the fuck. Like, you just put it together in your head. Why would you then ask the question, like, what do you mean? Like, bitch, you're dead. Like, you're on that list too. It's just... There's so many fucking dumb things in this movie. Okay, in the beginning of this movie, when, you know, obviously it shows the girl walking down the street and the guy's behind her with the cell phone, right?
See, I like the opening scene in this movie, by the
okay.
way.
Okay. Well, I really want to talk about this because I think it's so fucking stupid for one reason. In order for something like that to work, the reaction kind of has to make sense. And that guy's reaction to her turning around and, like, yelling at him was not the reaction that a normal person would give. Like, he just kind of ducks his head and just walks into his house like a girl, like he wasn't right behind a girl and he just turned like that. Like, clearly you know that in this day and age, like, it's probably going to freak a girl out if you're walking right behind her that closely, right? So that reaction didn't make sense. To me, personally, then right after, when that dude fucking pops up right in her face, I felt like it was so generic, like every other fucking horror movie. And then you get kind of the Worry Strode, I'm going to go run up to the house and knock on the fucking door, nobody's going to answer thing. And then they're gone. Ooh. Like, we're really fucking treading new ground here, guys, in 2020. Like, we've seen this a million fucking times. I feel like they just added nothing new. Except for when he killed her and she made a snow angel. That was
That was a cool shot. It would have been cooler to see blood in the snow, but
that would yes.
This is the only Black Christmas movie to be rated PG-13.
I did not know that. Okay, well that makes sense. Yeah, no, I thought that was beautiful. I thought, wow, I was like, okay, I didn't like any of that, but that just made it worth it right there.
It was run of the mill. I'll give you that. Yep. I will give you that, but it was, like I said, I had such a piss poor. Attitude coming into it that
right.
I saw. I'm like, you know what? This is actually well shot and a good looking movie so far. And then that Snow Angel scene, I'm like, okay, we're off to a decent start here. That's all I was saying. And then this Riley girl, to me, Riley was a likable lead. I liked her. I think she's, matter of fact, I like Imogene Poots in every movie I've seen her in.
Cool. So,
Poots. I liked her. You know, this Phil guy comes along. He's an asshole. My big problem was the fucking... Okay, even though I said it wasn't heavy-handed and everything else, and I'm going to go to the other side of the political fence and say this.
Come to the dark side.
This is what bothers me. That everyone knows that this girl said, and she even says it later, she goes, the cops didn't believe me
right. When
I said I was raped. Why do you know that would never... Never, never fucking happen. Do you know that my wife or Lacey right now could walk out of the door, walk about five steps down, call anybody on their cell phone, any officer right now with no proof, no nothing, and say, my boyfriend or my husband just raped me. And literally within
in
30 minutes, we will have cuffs on our fucking hands. And I don't mean that to be a chauvinist or an asshole. I know that because I experienced it, and I know others that experienced it. I know how easy it is. So when somebody says that I went to the officers and told them I was raped and they didn't believe me, now I'm pissed off.
I think it might also depend on where you live.
Okay.
Like, I really believe that. Like, maybe. I mean, I said my husband just threatened to kill me, and they were like, well, we'll have an officer. Like, is he there right now? We'll have an officer come by to see you tomorrow.
Wow, really?
You know, so, I mean, that literally happened. I would not normally say that, but in the context of this conversation, I'm telling that as a personal, real truth.
As I just did. So I feel you. Okay. All right. Well, I can only judge, again, I've said that many times, we can only judge by the experiences we've had in our lives, and it just seemed far-fetched to me, but maybe so. Okay. I guess I'm not that angry about it. It's just, at the time, that's just what I felt. I'm like, well, that's odd. And I don't understand how these people have this Yip Yap fucking app, whatever that's supposed to be. Someone that they don't know is able to send them messages on an app. Do you know you can't do that? We all have apps here. You can't send somebody a Facebook message that you don't. It's not going to come up as a notification. That's for fucking sure.
Right.
And
stuff like that, too, that, like, it just bothers me. It's like, what the fuck? And even that guy, he's just like, I don't DM. He's like, well, do you want me to DM you? Like, okay, so... Who is this guy in this movie? Like, what is happening? He is just the worst character fucking ever. Like,
he's a good guy.
What's that?
And he's a good guy.
He's the epitome of a cuck. Like, he is the cuck to the chase. Like, he
cuck to the chase. I knew he did there. Lord, Lord.
No, listen. Okay, here's the problem with this movie. Okay, you mentioned earlier about, I went to the cops, but they didn't even believe us last time. Why would they? That is delivered by the dollar store Tessa Thompson, who basically is fucking the number one leader of that whole fucking thing. So of course she would say that. Like, and all of these things that it just seems like, okay, she puts her and her friends in these sketchy situations by saying, hey, go tell them you were raped up on stage and stuff like that. Like, that's what, well, that, like, you know she was forced, though, by her friend. Like, there are scenes where, you know, you get a lot of dialogue alluding to that before.
Like, she didn't want to necessarily come clean.
She didn't want that smoke. And like,
no,
you can relate to
smoke
her.
To have.
Yeah, absolutely. But when it did happen, I felt like she was so not fucking helpful until she showed up like Robin Hood at the end with her bow and arrows.
But do you think it is, like, therapeutic for her to get up on stage and dress like Mean Girls?
Right.
And then speak these lyrics. I'm going to read them in the most Lacey Lou voice I know how to do.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Did you say please?
Please.
Up in the frat house, me and you, and we know what I'm there to do. We're drinking and kissing. What comes next? You and I have sex.
Slide it in and slide it in, or something they said. You slid it in my drink, and then...
He's trying to come to the rescue there.
Something pretty like that. Dave. That was a good scene, though, and I'll tell you my thing. At first, I'm watching this, and I'm like, so far what I've seen about these characters, especially this one girl, this doesn't fit into her personality with them doing something sexy and singing something about sex at the frat house. Then the lyrics change, and I was like, bravo. I liked it. I was like... Fucking you go, girls, because seriously, if those are the kind of people and frat boys that are at this place, and that shit went down with Imogene Poots' ex or whatever the fuck, then good for you. I'm glad you did it. I thought that was a cool scene. You know?
I like to refer to the old Street Fighter game when I call her a Morgan, but that's just me personally. no, and this song that was great. Because it showed how savvy they were and what they were kind of going into when they were backstage and she was just like, I'm glad I wore my push-up bra. Like, they know that they're going to look good and then get their attention, therefore making what they're trying to do effective. Like, it is. It is smart in a lot of aspects. It really is. And I thought that scene was great and it kind of set up sort of the rest of the movie in terms of where the threat might possibly be coming from. Like, it pissed a lot of people off. So, you know, the possibilities were endless where this was going to go.
Not only is it a Christmas horror film, but yeah, there's a lot of themes in this. And there's a lot of themes within all three films. You know, there's the progression of man-hating. There really is. So in the 74 version, they make you want to hate the man because he wants her to give up her... you know, rights of, you know, her body, her whatever. And they make the quote in this film as well. And the 2006 one, they have the man videotape a girl having sex. And in this one, you literally have a cult of men that wants to kill women that do not obey. So, I mean, this
escalated.
All three of these films, I feel like it's man-hating.
I didn't think of it in that aspect.
I did this time, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Because I watched this one, I watched them backwards. I watched this one first, and I knew what I was getting into. Then I saw the asshole in the other movie, and then I go back and I watch the original. I'm like, well, I could see this guy's being, even though he wants to be a father, I understand the lure of wanting to be a father, but just...
The way
he presented
it.
Correct, right.
Yeah.
Heavy-handed in that way. He was trying to control her, and she wanted none of it. Yeah.
Yeah, one thing Dan actually noticed from the original to this one that we didn't mention earlier was the fact that the guy looks like Malcolm McDowell.
He does. He looks like a young Malcolm
and
McDowell.
And then we put it
movie.
Together that Stanley Kubrick did...
He's the guy in 2001.
Space Odyssey, yeah.
I was like, this guy's face looks so familiar, and he's in Space Odyssey, yeah.
In what? In this movie? In 2001?
No, original.
Not this one, but the original.
The boyfriend
I meant to bring up earlier.
The guy who they basically... Oh. Yeah.
Does he not look like Malcolm McDowell, but yet...
Makes sense.
And I guess so.
Obviously, they did both of those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Like,
and there's another Shining thing. Check it. In this one? In 2019? The guy says a line, it's a fucking nod to The Shining. I never miss any tribute, any tiny thing to The Shining. I always recognize it. But the guy says, when they're doing something, and they're trying to put the tree up, and the girl says something to him, and he goes, oh, why are you being so grouchy? And he says, I'm not being grouchy. I just want to get the tree up. That's exactly what fucking Jack says to Wendy. I'm not being grouchy. I just want to finish.
Hey.
The way he delivers that line, I'm not being grouchy, is 100%
Yes.
Fuck Nicholson. Yeah.
Yes.
It's
now,
crazy.
You just mentioned the Christmas trees in this movie. I will say that as...
Oh, you got pissed.
As we learned on the last couple episodes.
Oh, he was so pissed.
Oh, those were not fucking Christmas trees.
No, like when they're shopping for a Christmas tree.
They were so... those were the wackest trees
He's
ever.
Like, those are pine trees.
They were ridiculous. They were not even the same kind at all. And I'll say this, too.
This comes from the most popular Christmas tree salesman of 2018.
Take it easy. one of the things, though, no, that I've noticed about movies like this, though, is, okay, so you mentioned that Christmas is a theme here. I barely fucking think it is. I feel like this movie kind of disrespects Christmas in a sense. It uses it just because it has nothing to do with the fucking plot. It's just, hey, we're going to tell our story, but we're just going to take a dump right here. Oh, it just happens to be on Jesus' birthday. Like, that's how it felt to me. Because,
were you
me,
personally offended by this movie, Dan?
Yes, and I feel like you should use Christmassy tropes like that to your advantage. You could use all those sticky things to get cool. Like, hey, why don't you have, you know, somebody being stalked while you're looking for Christmas trees? They even set it up where it was like an inside tented area. Man, that could have been a dope scene where you could have built a lot of fucking tension.
You know what bugged me the most?
What's that, baby?
Is that, obviously, the other two films did have, like, some of the prank calls.
Right.
And this one, it's so millennial that it's text message reading.
It's not even right.
I literally hate having to read a fucking text message in a movie.
Right. Yeah.
I fucking hate that. Like, that takes away all the airiness.
For me.
I mean, I get creepy messages and whatnot, but it would be way more creepy for somebody to call me.
Right. I would agree that it's definitely detrimental, I think, to it. It's just not scary. It doesn't...
I don't want to read. I want to watch.
Right.
And I want to hear.
I will say this. Now, that little Jewish girl from earlier that we talked about, I do feel like she had one of the best deaths. In that, I felt like that one death when, you know, she's in the hallway and the cat finally pops up, the white cat. Did anybody get Exorcist 3 vibes from that
scene?
I've
never seen Exorcist 3.
100% that's what
yes!
I was in there. Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Totally.
Yeah, no, and I watched that and I was like, oh shit, that was complete misdirection. Like, look at the cat. Oh, we're over here. Like, I just love that shit. I thought it was brilliant.
See, I didn't pick up on that because I've obviously never seen that film.
It's one of those scenes where, when we watch the brilliant Exorcist 3, you'll see. It's one of those scenes where it just plays with the camera and it plays with how long you're watching something and misdirection. So it's fantastic. You know, this movie does. It has a couple cool things in it. It also has the girl power moment where they all come barging through the door and this one bitch has a sled.
Like, yeah, perfect timing.
Like, what the fuck? Like, okay, here's my main thing with it, okay? Honestly, I get it. It's all about standing up to these guys, which are chauvinists, they're possessed, whatever. It was so fucking unearned to me. Like, in no shape, way, or form did I ever get a sense where any of these fucking chicks were badasses. I never got a sense of like, yeah, let's do this until that moment. It felt like that moment where the Megazord is down and they're about to fucking get him. Oh, but here comes the Green Ranger with his fucking dragon, and he comes in and saves the day. That's what it felt like. It was just like, hey, it was so cartoony and fucking stupid that I was like, this is the most ridiculous movie that I've ever fucking seen, and I hate every second of it, and I honestly feel bad that we made Dave Z watch it for this show.
Honestly. I think that the director knew that she was going to piss people off because she does have one line in the film from the main character, Imogene Poots.
What's that? Morgan!
Because like, it's like her friends were, even though they sided with her and did that song with her, they still didn't necessarily want her to speak out. Like, it's very confusing.
Right.
Very
confusing. It's peer pressure.
Or they want her to push it too much, or, you know, go, you know, like, do a slutty song.
Right.
You know, that they're going to dress up as hoes and then deliver.
Right.
Like, that makes no sense.
Right.
But, all right. But she does say, she's like, isn't that the point? This is what you wanted. You wanted people to know. And she's like, we're not inspiring people. We're pissing people off.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a line in the film. And I think that's intentional of the fact that the director actually wants the viewers to know that they're going to take it this way. And it's not necessarily going to be inspiring. It's going to piss a lot of people off. But other people are going to relate to it.
Here's my response to that. Yeah, no, we got it. Like, we get it.
Yeah.
Like, we totally get what you're laying down. And you know what? I honestly, like, I'm busting this movie's balls a lot. I can appreciate that. I really can. Like, do your thing. Tell your story. As a viewer, though, this is not my fucking idea of a good time. This was very tough. I thought this was tough watching this the first time. I thought, hey, maybe we can all get together for Christmas and really talk about it and see how it relates to the Black Christmas, you know, trilogy. And
it's a trilogy now.
I don't even
fucking
know.
It went from a franchise trilogy. We don't know what to call this.
Yo, this watch, though, was tough. Like, it was tough. I was like, I hate everything about this movie, and you know what? More than anything, guys, unfortunately, it just reminds me of the time that we live in. You know, it's not to invalidate anyone. Everybody should be taking everyone, you know, not only at face value, but, like, respect one another, like, human decency. And the fact that, you know, it's not that unempathetic to you know, people that don't get that, but on the other side of it, when you get these whistleblowers and everybody's so fucking sensitive these days, it really does, it bothers me. And this movie is a literal representation of how I feel kind of about society today, and it's just kind of like, Jesus fucking Christ, like, take a step back. It's not invalidating what anybody's saying, but take it down a notch.
Well, and this might actually surprise you.
Yes.
But as a female, there is not one sorority sister that I relate to in this. And had it not been for the fact that the frat brothers were rapists, I would completely want to kill all these bitches. I'm not kidding.
That's fair.
I'm literally... There's not one likable lead character or female character in this film that I like.
Right.
I do not like, associate or relate, I guess is the proper word.
Even Imogen Poots's walk is annoying in this.
Her running is the worst.
Like, she can't even walk right. Like, what is going on?
Like,
in this movie?
She has something stuck up her ass.
That's what I'm saying.
Seriously. Like, after they get done doing that stupid Up on the Rooftop song.
Right.
When they come running, oh, look what we did. Like, her arms are, like way up. Like, she's like Jack Skellington.
The jeans that they put her in don't even make her ass look good.
No, it's like she needs a belt.
It's like, it was just so weird. It's like, I found myself unnecessarily hating on this movie. and to the point where, like, it definitely should be hated on certain levels. But I don't know, like, it just brought out even more hate in me. And I hate to, like, even, like, kind of, you know, end with you know, a
hate,
negative vibe or whatever. But damn, do I fucking hate this movie. I hate this movie so much that I literally never want to watch it again.
Okay, so let's get into your rating then.
Okay. That's fair. Well, you're just going to throw it right back at me. Okay, I honestly, on a technical level, you know, that great Snow Angel kill was dope. I'll give it a 2. It was competently shot. I think that the message is heavy-handed and annoying. I do give the director props for actually trying to say something in a movie where a lot of movies just don't. So as much as I ragged on it tonight, I will say that I I do give it some credit. So, yeah, for me, it's a 2. How about you, Dave?
You know, I'm right with you. I'm never going to watch it again. I still give it a 2, though. Like I said, yep. I've seen worse movies, and yes, it was heavy-handed, but whatever. I mean,
yeah.
So be it. I'm not opposed to, you know, somebody intelligently trying to say, hey, you know, watch yourself around frat boys and, you know, just, honestly, I mean, my daughter's 14. Right. I want her to be careful too. But again, the whole woke thing and everything else, I'm not saying I'm walking that line exactly, but I mean, it's okay. Even if you don't agree with what people are saying on a political level and what type of spin they're putting on something, I don't want to be the hypocrite that's going to say, well, I don't like this because I may or may not agree with the message. Where this movie here, I'm 100% behind the message. So
right.
Go movie. So yeah. You know, it's right. A 2 for me. It's just there, and I'm not watching it again. But whatever.
Okay, so
perfectly said.
So for me, I absolutely hated this movie when I first watched it. Like, it was a 1 out of 5. I believe I rated it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this movie would have definitely benefited from not calling itself Black Christmas. I okay. think had they removed that title in general and, you know, called it maybe Mistletoe versus Jingle Balls, it might have been something special.
Right. You just made it so much better just by renaming it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it honestly would have benefited from that. It's kind of like Child's Play. I think that was an enjoyable movie to watch, you know, last year.
Mm-hmm.
When that came out, had it not been called Child's Play, it would have been on a different enjoyment level.
Right.
You know, yes, would it had similar tones or whatever? Did it need to be called Child's Play? No, they're just trying to, you know, capitalize on the name. And that's what they were doing exactly with this film, which the only reference to the original is, you know, when she puts the plastic bag over one of the killer's heads.
Right.
This has literally the dumbest killer costume that I've ever fucking seen in a horror movie.
Robin Hood.
Yeah, it's basically, which was obviously played back to, Princess Bride. With, you know, Dr. Gordon.
You brought it back. Oh, wow. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, wow.
You know, the eye thing. Yeah.
Wow.
But, I mean, that's what it felt like at times.
Because we're men in tights.
Yes. Another thing that bothered me is, like, when she is going to infiltrate, you know, the fraternity, and she gets up to the statue, and then she hears her friend screaming. And then she keeps going towards the statue, and then she just hears her friend screaming, and she's like, well, fuck, I gotta go back.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's just so stupid. Like, this is not how normal people act.
Correct.
Like, they're not that conflicted. Like, you hear your friend scream, you run automatically.
Right.
Like, you don't think, like, oh, no, I need to smash this first.
Right, let me, yeah. Right,
I mean, because we don't know supernatural things if it's real life. I'm sorry, like, that's just not how
right.
a brain processes. The Diva Cup is apparently iconic now.
Probably one of my most hated scenes ever. And then just because of the fact that they had to bring that scene back again. Like, I hated it when she was shoving that thing down her fucking pants the first time. Now you want to throw a fucking callback to it? Like, I hate you, movie.
Yeah, no, I literally hate Landon's character. I don't see him being a leading man. Like, he's a big nerd. Like, make a masculine dude, like, fall under a spell. You know what I mean? Like, this dude, I just don't buy him. Like, he's fighting it so much. Like, it literally right. shows his hand quivering. And he has the worst dialogue in a movie that I have seen or heard.
I mean, he said, stupid fucking Christmas
I'll slide into your DMs if you want me to. Or he said, suck a fat fart, because you just got zeted.
Yeah, that, yo, okay.
Yeah, this was
like, it's so bad. Like, this
that
character
was the line.
Is, no, maybe he's just the worst character I've ever seen in a horror movie speak a dialogue.
Suck a fat fart, you've just been zeted.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I said
suck a fat fart, you've just been zeted. Like, that was his, like, oh, like, literally, bro, like, that, like, wow.
That's the worst line since fucking do your thing, cuz.
Yes, we were just talking about that. Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah.
There you go.
Yep, it was so bad. Cuck of the century.
And then another problem I had with it is, you know, the big dude comes in and he, Helena or whatever, Helena, whatever, you said she's seen her necklace.
Yes. When,
yes. And she's very submissive. And he comes in and just snaps her neck.
Right.
And then the other chick, Imogen, is like, oh, okay, I'll suck your dick. And, I mean, that's what it felt like.
A little bit of tickle the balls, too.
and then she decides to not be submissive, and he's choking her out. Why did he not just snap her fucking neck as well? And then that gives the time for, as Dan would call her, the $2 Tessa Thompson.
That would have given time for fellatio.
Effie. But it like the other bitches come in at that time. Like, he could have just snapped her neck. Why did he not do that?
Right.
Like, it makes no fucking sense. That's stupid.
We wouldn't have a movie if he did that.
No, we would have a movie because it's at the end of the movie.
That's true.
Snap the neck and then have the bitches come in. Why do we need this character? We don't.
And Dan rates it a 5.
So, for that, I give this movie a 2 as well.
Oh, wow. 2's all around. Now, wow. I will say this. One of the lowest ratings for a movie that we've covered here on Cut to the Chase, but I will say this. On the flip side, definitely one of the funnest and longest podcasts ever, Mr. Dave Z.
Yeah, we have not had a longer episode since our 2019 top 10.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that was a banger.
Of course. You got 3 movies and you got fucking blabbermouth me here.
No, have you listened to Dan this entire time?
Hey, Dave Z, it has been fantastic, man. I'm so happy
that you
could come back to Cut to the Chase, obviously. We should definitely do this more often.
And not just on holiday films.
Yes, exactly.
Right, word, absolutely. You know I'll be around. Just ask. All you got to do is ask. If I got the time...
Now,
you got the place.
All right, you got to be Joe Pesci right now.
You motherfucker, you!
that was so like he hit it.
He was on point.
See, exactly.
Thank you.
Hey, Dave, if there's anybody in this universe that doesn't know where to find you, would you kindly pimp yourself to the listeners of Cut to the Chase?
Well, you can find Exploding Heads, all our older episodes on Horrorphilia while it's still standing, and on YouTube and iTunes and all that good shit. And then all the modern shows are on Patreon, www.patreon.com/explodingheads. 3 shows a month every month. Long shows like this one a lot of the times.
What's your next episode?
Oh, tomorrow, actually about 8 hours from now, we will be recording our 5th year anniversary / holiday special show.
And Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yeah, 5 years, man.
Wow.
So I'm really excited because for the first time, it's not going to be a movie review at all. We're just answering questions and doing a bunch of top 5 lists. People send us all kinds. What's your top 5 this? What's your top 5 that? And all this other shit. So there's going to be no movie review. It's just going to be us shooting the shit, having fun, and just doing what we want to do. So really excited about that.
Well,
I
may have to call in during.
You mentioned that that's your 5-year anniversary. On the day, today, that we are recording this, this is actually the 4-year anniversary of this show, Cut to the Chase.
Amazing. Wow.
Right?
Well, happy anniversary.
Yes,
happy
sir.
Anniversary to Dan.
No, and thank you so much for coming on, man. I'm so glad we could have you on one of these Christmas shows. Like I said, open invitation to come back. So, for everybody here, for all the snuggle fucks across the snuggle fuck bills.
Put the cookie down!
Peace out.
Peace out. Yeah.
And don't forget about Watson. Because Watson's gonna be pissed.
hours, they would all just disappear.
What's so funny? What are you laughing at? He did it again, didn't you? He left bananas. What's wrong with you? Why do you do that? I told you not to do it.
Dave, it's our calling card.
Calling card.
All the great ones leave their mark. We're the Banana Bandits.
You're sick. You know that? You're really sick.
Nah, I'm not sick.